Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
I miss my cue. Well, howdy. Don't know how that happened. I had all the buttons in the right places. Yeah, I'm just glad to be here. It's a minute past the hour. This is Thorn in the Side Thursday. On the Horn, the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is our home, but you can listen to the program via a variety of different venues. You can listen at iTunes Radio. You can listen at Stitcher. You can listen at Tuner Radio, TuneIn Radio. There's all kinds of apps out there for listening to the Horn. And we are happy to have you listening, no matter how it is you are doing so. Chat room beginning to fill up. Onward to Dystopia. Sparky, our chat room moderator, Jug of Punch is there. John Fox just rode in on Skippy the Bush Kangaroo. Morning, John. And, you know, I got to tell you, I sensed it last night. That wackiness that started in the first hour just really never let up. The emails continued to roll in. A couple more suggestions for what for the question that my head writer David in Tennessee had posed, to wit, what did Reverend Woody Wooden think was on that cell phone, you know, that was that fundamental cell phone. What did he think the ringtone was? And we got a couple more suggestions. Let's see. Our good buddy Tosh said it could only be one thing. Under pressure. Nah. Oh, you guys never cease to amaze me. And then Kirby. Kirby wrote in from Japan, a relatively new listener. Kirby wrote in from Japan to suggest, "Why Didn't You Call Me?" by Macy Gray. Oh, you guys are good. You guys are good. Kirby also stepping up and helping out with the fundraising. I didn't have a chance to check it this evening, but I'll let y'all know on tomorrow night's Friday on the Front Porch where we stand in terms of closing out the month on a positive note, or in the black, or however you care to look at it. It shouldn't be too dire, I'm hoping. I'm sincerely hoping. But, you know, with having been gone for 3 days last week, it hurts things. But hopefully we will get over that hump and move into February. Some changes coming. They're really not, they're not substantive. But some changes are coming. We're changing our bandwidth provider and our telephone provider in an effort to be a little bit more lean in this process. And we're going to have to find a new toll-free provider. Hopefully that will not be too painful. But I will keep you apprised of all of that. Now, last night was plenty wacky. Last night was just silly. And you know what? We need those kind of things once in a while. We need them badly. Because otherwise, just looking at all of this grim stuff could take a big old bite out of your soul. Or at least it does if you're at all like me. So the opportunity to have a giggle is good. Sandra wrote in after the show saying, "I have no idea how you held it together." And I assure you, last night, I did not hold it together. I was working the mute button on the microphone, like some sort of Morse code operator in the 19th century, warning that the Yankees was coming. or the rebels, depending on which side of that you fall, I understand. But we do have we've got some business to catch up with. I've got a story here, just by way of finishing off some stuff we didn't get to last night. Remember Oral Roberts? Kevin sent this along. Kevin from Colorado Springs. I'm sure you remember Oral Roberts, faith healer, tent huckster, scrounged up enough, raised up enough money out of his credulous followers to build a university that no one either wanted or needed in Oklahoma. A university that subsequently found itself in dire trouble along about the same time that it was found out that Oral Roberts' daughter-in-law, the wife of Richard Roberts, his son, was having text message and arguably other dalliances with boy toys from the university. Well, it gets worse, sort of. This story dated January 24th, 2012, coming out of Oklahoma. The story is available at CNN's Belief blog. Also, I'm looking at the story from the LA Times blog. Headline, Oral Roberts' son, former university president, emphasis on the word former, accused of DUI. Yep. Richard Roberts, former president of Tulsa's Oral Roberts University and son of the school's namesake Pentecostal televangelist, was arrested early Tuesday on suspicion of DUI and speeding. Shortly after midnight on Tuesday, that would be Monday night into Tuesday, an Oklahoma Highway Patrol trooper caught Roberts driving a black 2006 Mercedes, at 93 miles per hour in a 65 mile an hour zone on a highway west of U.S. 169. That's according to the arrest report that the L.A. Times examined. Richard Roberts is 63 years old, and upon the stop, it's that same sort of police language you often encounter in such things as this. The trooper noted that he smelled strongly of alcohol, according to the police report. Richard Roberts failed two coordination tests. Those are also called field sobriety tests. And his blood alcohol level tested out at about 0.11%, which is a good 0.03% above the legal limit there in Oklahoma. He was booked and released on $1,100 bail. And I know how it happened. I know how it happened because I've got a little inside source. What happened is the officer pulled him over and looked at some brown bags down in the floorboard of Richard Roberts' car. Just brown bags, and said, Reverend Roberts, what you got in the bags? Richard Roberts said, holy water. Says, really, holy water? It don't smell like holy water. Oh, it's holy water, Officer. It's just, I'm not nearly as thick as you drunk I am. Would you mind if I took a look at the holy water? At which point, Richard Roberts reached down and handed the bag over to the officer, and he uncorked it and took a whiff and said, Reverend Roberts, this is wine. Reverend Roberts looked at him and went, praise the Lord, he's done it again! Yeah. Nah, it's probably not like that. Nah, I'd say it was probably a little more along the lines of the... they're Pentecostals. They don't go in for the communion wine. They use grape juice there. No, this was probably... Richard was probably into the good stuff. Because if you recall... Yeah. Feet of clay, but it's okay. He's not perfect. Just forgiven. That's what the Fundies like to say whenever one of their own gets caught. And speaking of getting caught, speaking of getting caught, I had a story last night and didn't get to it, and it certainly deserves to be mentioned. And, of course, it features Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist. And you could say that it's an old story, but in light of the flogging away that Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich and his big old head has been doing at, you know, referring to President Obama, the food stamp president, and talking about how he wants to teach black folks not to be happy with food stamps and to want paychecks. I want to be the paycheck president, he says. He also says that he will have a base on the moon by the end of his second term in office if he's elected president. Moonbase Gingrich. Yeah, open pod bay doors, hell. John Fox reminds me that Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich and his big old head has also been going around flogging Saul Alinsky in his anti-Obama rants. John notes, it's an obscure one. Community organizer and tactician. It's fascinating stuff. Continuing to run against Obama, the myth. Too hard to run against the real thing, don't you know? Exactly, John. But while Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, sees a moon base in his future, a moon base. Don't get me wrong. I wish. I was part of the space generation. As a kid, we sort of expected to have one of those by now, a while back even. But, no, I don't want Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich to build a moon base unless he promises to go live in it. But no, he's been doing this. Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich has been doing this. This food stamp president business, and what he's going to tell the NAACP, and you know, the real beauty was when he looked at Juan Williams during that one of those pageants that they had, the one in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina, wasn't it? Wasn't that the one where the mob almost started putting the pillowcases over their head and braiding a rope? That's where Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, told Juan Williams, who is a person of color, that he understood that for Juan Williams, work is a strange, distant concept. Nice, huh? Well, that's Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich and his big old head's present. He has a past. Have you heard this? You know, there's an old adage out there that says you never write anything down. Back in the day, I learned this via the Prism American History series that Dr. Bill hosts. Back in the day, it was typical for people in the late 18th, early 19th century, and upward, to leave directions to their surviving spouse or whoever was in charge of their papers afterward to make sure and burn all the correspondence. More times than not, the executor of the estate followed the decedent's wishes, but sometimes they didn't. And consequently, you get a rather fascinating look into the times as they were. Well, apparently, Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich's past there in the Congress didn't quite get everything into the shredder. Back in the early 1990s, 1993 or thereabouts, Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich was going to deliver a very important speech about American civilization. And he handwrote his first draft. Granted, trying to decipher the handwriting of Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich is right up there with trying to decipher linear A, but it can be done. And this draft is, it's a dandy. The first draft of the speech, which has survived and has been uncovered by the Huffington Post, the first draft of the speech describing American civilization, remember that's the topic, says, for poor minorities, entrepreneurship in small business is the key to future wealth. This is understood thoroughly by most of the Asians, partially by Latinos, and to a tragically small degree by much of the American black community. I'm working on my Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich voice. That'll have to suffice for now. I know it's not nearly as funny as my cranky Grandpa Simpson voice for Ron Paul, libertarian obstetrician, libertarian gynecologist. You are free to put your feet in the stirrups. Now, the speech did get typed up, and along the way, whoever was doing the typing apparently looked up and said, Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, I don't think we want this part about the black folks not understanding business. I don't think we want that in your speech, do we really? Well, why not? It's true. It didn't make the final draft. It didn't make the final cut. This was discovered among 1,000 pages of records that were entered into evidence during Newt Gingrich's House Ethics Committee investigation, the one that cost him $300,000 and the speakership. For poor minorities, entrepreneurship in small business is the key to future wealth. This is understood thoroughly by most Asians, partially by Latinos, and to a tragically small degree by much of the American black community. And how would he know? And even the people that he wasn't insulting, he insulted. What time has Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, amateur paleontologist, ever spent in the Asian community, in the Latino community, and God knows, in the black community? Hint, he hasn't. At this point in time, Newt should just punt and put on the pillowcase. You guys just don't let up. I mentioned Newt wanting to build the Moonbase Alpha, Moonbase Gingrich, Moonbase Newt. And you're right there, ahead of the curve. Lickety split. This comes in from Robert in Australia. How could he not? Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich vibe to it, doesn't it? I don't even want to think about him and Callista dancing to this. Now, this is, of course, the theme to Space 1999, Moonbase Gingrich. Yeah, and then there's our good buddy Patty, out in a very not snowy North Dakota, urging the rest of us not to get on Newt's spaceship. Patty certainly knows her Twilight Zone. Don't get on the spaceship. Do not get on board that book. That book Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich has to serve man, It's a cookbook. Oh, sorry, Marty. No bashing Barry Gray's music. I wasn't bashing. I love that sort of porn soundtrack, waka 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 guitar in there. I love that stuff. Marty asking, where's Dean Wormer when we need him? And every night, the toilets explode. Oh, dear. You were early. No, you got in early, Marty, with the Space 1999 reference. Robert just beat you to it with the theme music. Black community hardly understands the idea of entrepreneurship at all. You know, maybe he's right. All of those brilliant post-Civil War communities that rose up in the various cities, those were imaginary. And of course, it's hard to understand entrepreneurship when you're busy carrying an entire slave economy on your scarred back. But don't tell Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich that, and for God's sakes, don't tell the teabaggers in Tennessee that, because they don't want their little children being taught about no slavery. Of course, there may be an upside to that, because, well, we've got two examples. We've got the Georgia example of how much, if Frederick is beaten three times a day for 8 days, how many times has Frederick been beaten? Slavery story. And we've got the one I told you about from right up the road here at my kids' high school. Ron and Raleigh noting, Bob, I can see it now. Callista in a purple wig and nude in spandex. You know, Ron, if you can see that in your mind's eye, I don't want to be inside your mind, because that's just giving me the shakes. I'll be into the rot gut before the show's out with images like my. Oh, my third eye is burning. Ugh. Jim, you know, we also had the story a couple of nights ago about the state of Virginia wanting to sell the naming rights to its bridges, its roads, its berms, shoulders, mile markers. Well, apparently, Jim has the idea that perhaps we can sell the naming rights to just call it Moonbase Newton Uranus. Are there cell phones involved? I don't know. We're off to a roaring start already. 23 minutes past the hour, and now there are some stories that are considerably more serious out there. This one I mentioned with Newt just blows me away. I'm surprised it doesn't have a reference to Asians not driving well, because that's another one of those stereotypes. And you know, the Latinos only partially understand entrepreneurship. Where's the line about how well white folks understand it? Yeah, I didn't see it either. But I mentioned the Reverend Richard Roberts getting popped for DUI a few minutes ago. We've got another one. From Oklahoma, we go to Georgia, where I'm sure there is still a flurry of activity well underway to get the young man from Hinesville, Georgia, into the Bulldog training camp right away. I mean, there's only so. No, you're not going to stop Bulldog recruiting over something as silly as a birth certificate now, are you? It's not like we're trying to bring Barack Hussein Obama onto the football squad now. No, but we are back in Georgia, and we are dealing with a Republican representative from the Georgia House, by the name of Representative Kip, K-I-P, Smith. Representative Kip Smith, who was pulled over a couple of weeks back. His name is John Andrew Smith, but he goes by Kip. That's the way it... John Andrew Smith, you come here right now. What? Kip. He got pulled over there in Atlanta. Or somewhere in Georgia. He got pulled over and the officer, he said, "Ossifer, I have not been drinking." Just like Richard Roberts said, "I'm not nearly as thick as you drunk I am." Officer said, son, you've been drinking, son. "All right, I had one beer over at Hal's. One beer. Well, I had one beer. Did I mention that I had one beer at Hal's?" That's when the officer noticed that Representative Kip Smith's eyes were right watery. He said, "I asked him to exit the vehicle," which he did. That's Officer Kramer. "Now, son, you told me you had a beer. Is that correct?" "I think it's correct. Yes, it was at Hal's. Hal's is where I had the beer." And you know, those aspirated consonants are a real booger when you're drunk and trying to talk to an officer. "It was at Hal's. That's where it was." "Mm-hmm. And how long ago were you at?" 45 minutes. "That's 45 minutes ago. I was at Hal's." So the officer said, "Well, I'm just going to ask you to blow into this here little old intoximeter. Would you mind blowing into that, Representative Kip Smith? Could you blow in that for me?" "I'd really rather not. I just prefer to go to a clinic or the hospital to get tested. You never know who's been blowing on that thing or where it's been, you know, understand." So they remonstrated back and forth for a while, and Kip Smith, who doesn't look like any shrinking violet who's been shoving himself back from the dinner table any time lately, Kip Smith finally, after all this time, because you see, "I heard about it, wait a minute, so if you can just put it off a little bit, your blood alcohol level will go down, and you won't be quite so drunk." And so even after dawdling with the cop for a while, he finally blows into the intoxicant. "Are you sure you know why this thing's been? This is, yeah, I don't want to get one of those diseases." At which point, upstanding, God-fearing, conservative, right-wing, pig-licking Representative Kip Smith blew himself a .091, which is .011 above the legal .08. Alcohol driving limit. So he was, in the eyes of the law of Georgia, presumptively soused. Presumptively stinkoed, blottoed, drunk, liquored up three sheets to the wind. This would all be delightful enough if it was just good, God-fearing, upstanding, right-wing, conservative, family values, having repig-licking House member Kip Smith of Georgia, the Georgia state legislature. That'd be precious as it was. But because God is a God of irony, as we have noted in the past, and loves a good giggle as much as the next deity, there's more. Yes, it's a Ginsu commercial. Because Kip Smith, representative to the Georgia House State Legislature, do you know who I am? I mean, on my license it says that my name is John Andrew Smith.
But everybody calls me Kip. You see, I got a little button here on the legislature. See? That's the legislature button.
No, it would just be another day in the Republican universe if another right-wing, God-fearing, upstanding, fine, fundamentalist Christian Republican got popped for DUI. That's just, that happens all the time. It's just a minor miracle he didn't get popped for DUI at the same time that he was trying to put a cell phone in some... Never mind. But there's more. Because you see, in Georgia, they not only don't like immigrants, they don't like folks what's out of work. They don't like folks who get the welfare. And they don't like folks who get the unemployment. And never mind the fact that Florida tried it and it got struck down by the courts. Representative Kip Smith, John Andrew Smith, that is, Representative Kip Smith thought it'd be a fine, fine thing to introduce and sponsor a bill in the Georgia State House that would require drug testing for Georgia welfare recipients. Mm-hmm. Make sure they ain't smoking none of that marijuana or eating none of that crack or bathing in none of that meth or none of that stuff, because I hear they make the meth in a bathtub. Mm-hmm. No, he wants to make sure anybody getting that welfare that they're the ones that getting drug tested. These things are, of course, beyond likely to be found unconstitutional. But that don't matter to Representative Kip Smith, because he wants to make sure that none of Georgia's public monies are going to buy no drugs for no people on welfare. Now, if you're in the Georgia State Legislature, you want to use some of your public salary to go out and have a beer at Hal's. Ever been to Hal's? It's a great place. They got one of those electric dartboards, so you can't hurt anybody when you're throwing darts. Because it's all soft, you know. And they got some of those poker machines. I was playing the poker machines. I probably shouldn't tell you that, should I? No. Just another day with right-wing hypocrite Republicans in the tender mercies of the God of irony. Robert adding, he says, I should have said, for those who don't know, the premise of the 1974 TV series Space 1999 was that the nuclear waste dumps on the dark side of the moon, I think to yesterday's show, explode, pushing the moon out of Earth orbit. Of course, as to why you would store nuclear waste on the dark side of the moon rather than just dropping it into the sun is probably something only a Republican could explain. Well, son, we can charge storage fees for the next 50,000 years. We'll all be rich! Which is exactly where I was going, Robert. But there is... There's a dark side to these DUI stories. We go to New Mexico for that one. Our pop culture correspondent, David from Maine, sent this along. Now, Representative Kip Smith is booked, and they took his picture, and they got his fingerprint, and they released him on bond, just like they did Richard Roberts. Praise the Lord, he's done it again. It's a far cry from what happened to Stephen Slevin in Donna Ana County, New Mexico. He was popped for DUI in New Mexico in August of 2005. And he was booked. He was imprisoned. None of that has $1,100 worth of bail. Mm-mm. No.
No, just thrown in the Dona Ana County Jail in New Mexico and more or less forgotten about. Along the way, it turned into something like something out of that scene in that Tom Cruise movie about the plane crash where he's talking to the volleyball. Wilson! Remember that just horrifying scene where Tom Hanks, where Tom Hanks knocks his own tooth out on the back of a skate because it's killing him? That's one of the biggest cringes in all of film history in my world. Well, he wasn't on a desert island. He was in a jail. They'd just forgotten he was there when Stephen Slevin had to pull his own tooth because he was in solitary confinement for 2 years. He was left alone so long that his toenails started curling around his foot. They got so long. His hair grew out, as did his beard. He looked like the guy that hangs upside down in Monty Python's Life of Brian. He was in a car that a friend had loaned him to drive across country. Mr. Slevin wasn't feeling real good. He was kind of depressed. And because he was depressed, they threw him in a padded cell. Not once in 2 years of solitary confinement did Mr. Slevin ever see a judge. He has finally been released. And he has been, and upon his release, he has been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder. He will likely be on medication for the rest of his life as a result of 2 years in solitary. He said, I wanted people to know that there are people at the Dona Ana County Jail that are doing things like this to people and getting away with it. Why they did what they did, I have no idea. But that is par for the course in a country where 1% of the population has been rendered criminal by a nation with an absolute fetish for the punishment of others. Mr. Slevin went to court. He hired himself a lawyer, Matt Coit. He went to court, and the jury returned a verdict of $22 million. For 2 years in solitary confinement, the jury had returned it a verdict for $220 million. I would say it was too small. There is no amount of money that can compensate a person for the literal theft of their life, and that's what happens across this country. God only knows what the proportion of innocent people are in our nation who are unjustly prosecuted and penalized. Hell, this guy never even got prosecuted. You got to think of a prosecutor had seen. They just threw him in the padded cell and walked away. Is he still alive in there? Oh, okay. He begged for antidepressant medication. He was ignored. He begged for help with his tooth. No dentist. The federal jury made this award. Last Tuesday, and when the Dona Ana County Public Information Director was asked why this happened or how they felt about it, the only thing Jess Williams would say was, we do not discuss personnel issues. But Donna Anna County will appeal the verdict. Will you? Because stealing 2 years of a man's life isn't worth $22 million. No other questions will be answered by Donna Anna County. He didn't often, Mr. Slevin didn't even get the 1 hour out of the cell that every prisoner is guaranteed. He didn't get to take a shower. Fungus began to grow under his skin. Lawyer Coit described the situation to MSNBC.com. He said, "Your insanity builds. Some people holler or throw feces out their cell doors. Others rock back and forth under a blanket for a year or more, which is what my client did." By the time Slevin got out of jail, his hair was shaggy and overgrown, his beard long and his face pale and sunk in a drastic contrast from the clean-shaven booking photo taken of him when he was arrested 2 years prior. Lawyer Coit said, "Without that picture, we could have never gotten where we were." Lawyer Coit continued, "He's a brave guy. When he says it's not about the money, he really means it. He wants no one to go through what he went through, and people do in New Mexico and across this country." Donna Anna County will appeal the verdict. "We stole 2 years of his life, and we feel it's excessive to have to pay $22 million for trying to ignore a man to death who was in our care, custody, and control." Where's the circuit judge? Where's the trial court? Why isn't the county sheriff in front of the judge begging for mercy lest he be thrown in that hole for what is obviously a nightmare prison that is being run there? See, we get fixated on people like Joe Arpaio out in Arizona, who is an absolute crap heel of a human being. But we forget that throughout this country, there are lots of Mr. Slevin's, and there are lots of Donna Anna County jails. I would submit to you that one of the few reasons Mr. Slevin is alive is because he's white. Had he been a person of color, whether it be Latino, Native American, or African American, he'd be dead by now. This is not an isolated incident, and this is not an anomaly. This is the reality. This is the reality of life in America. Oh, and by the way, that $22 million verdict, well, he'll probably pay about $7 million of it to his lawyer. And I'm sure he'll pay it happily. Because he never had to pay a per hour fee. I don't know, maybe he won't. But at the very least, he's going to have about $14 million. And he's going to be taxed at around 35% on that $14 million. And so this man, who paid with 2 years of his life, is going to have a tax liability to the federal government in excess of the tax liability of Willard Romney. Think about that. You could win the Powerball. Let's say it's at $100 million. You take the cash option, that probably knocks it down to 35, 36, maybe 40 million.
maybe 50. Then you pay the tax on that. And you're down to what? 30? 25? And again, you pay more in taxes than Willard Romney, multi-millionaire. Marty remembered something from our not-too-distant past. $22 million? Can you hear George W. whining about he shooed and he won life's lottery? And all it cost him was a couple of miserable years in a padded cell. Big deal. He won life's lottery. Jeanette asking, how did he not die of thirst and starvation? Well, they fed him. It's solitary. You just unlock the little door, you slide it open, you shove the tray through, and you put it back shut and lock it again. Jim asking, what the hell? Did he wear an iron mask? Remember the letters de cachet of Louis XIV? Yeah. This is our American reality. What would have happened if Representative Kip Smith,
I want their house,
had just been disappeared for 2 years? You think anybody would miss 63-year-old Richard Roberts? As the dust began to collect on his capable of doing in excess of 93 miles an hour 2006 Mercedes-Benz automobile? Kind of gags your gut, doesn't it? We have a prison industrial complex in this country, and we would do damned well to pay attention to that fact. And this is what comes of not having a country in which we do not have adequate representation for the poor, for the desperate, for the not Willard Romneys of the world. This is what happens. And again, this is going to be one of those where our expatriate and international listenership will say, what? But yes, it's quite real. And what impetus is there? What impetus is there to reform this, to correct this kind of stuff? Because this is, after all, America, where you wouldn't be in jail if you hadn't done something wrong. If you're in jail, you're supposed to be in jail. If you get indicted, it's only because you're guilty. I've heard police officers say that. We only indict the guilty ones. Isn't that just charming? Fifth Amendment? What Fifth Amendment? Fourth Amendment? We don't need a stinking Fourth Amendment. Right? Yeah. So that's where we find ourselves this evening, toward the end of this hour's filibobster on this Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn. We'll take a little break, and we will come back with your calls We've got the Green News Report from Brad Friedman and Desi Doyen on the way. You know the number here, right? Area code 304-658-3333 on your own nickel. If you need us to pay the freight, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. Yeah, quite easy, really. Email rolls into Bob Kincaid, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D, Bob Kincaid at gmail.com. And we will be back forthwith with the second hour of the program. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
I was taking a trip out to L.A., tooling along in my Chevrolet, toking on the number and digging on the radio. Just as I crossed the Mississippi line, I heard that highway start to whine. I knew that left rear tire was about to go. Well, the spare was flat, and I got up tight, cause there wasn't a filling station in sight. So I just limped on down the shoulder on the rim. I went as far as I could, and when I stopped the car, it was right in front of this little bar, kind of a redneck-looking joint called the Dewdrop Inn. Well, I stuffed my hair up under my hat and told the bartender that I had a flat, and would he be kind enough to give me change for a one? Well, there was one thing I was sure proud to see. There wasn't a soul in the place except for him and me, and he just looked disgusted and pointed toward the telephone. I called up a station down the road a ways, and he said he wasn't very busy today, and he could have somebody there in just about 10 minutes or so. He said, "Now you just stay right where you're at," and I didn't bother to tell the darn fool that I sure as hell didn't have any place else to go. I just ordered up a beer and sat down at the bar when some guy walked in and said, "Who owns this car with the peace sign and the mag wheels and four on the floor?" Well, he looked at me and I damn near died, and I decided that I'd just wait outside, so I laid a dollar on the bar and headed for the door. Just when I thought I'd get out of there with my skin, these five big dudes come strolling in with this one old drunk chick and some fellow with green teeth. And I was almost at the door when the biggest one said, "You tip your hat to this lady, son." And when I did, all that hair fell out from underneath. Now, the last thing I wanted was to get in a fight in Jackson, Mississippi on a Saturday night, especially when there was three of them and only one of me. They all started laughing, and I felt kind of sick. I knew I'd better think of something pretty quick, so I just reached out and kicked old Green Teeth right in the knee. Now, he let out a yell that'd curl your hair, but before he could move, I grabbed me a chair and said, "Watch him, folks, because he's a thoroughly dangerous man." Well, you may not know it, but this man's a spy. He's an undercover agent for the FBI, and he's been sent down here to infiltrate the Ku Klux Klan. He was still bent over holding on to his knee, but everybody else was looking and listening to me, and I laid it on thicker and heavier as I went. I said, "Would you believe this man has gone as far as tearing Wada stickers off the bumpers of cars, and he voted for George McGovern for president?" "Well, he's a friend of them long-haired hippie-type pickle fags. I bet you he's even got a commie flag tacked up on the wall inside of his garage. He's a snake in the grass, I tell you guys. He may look dumb, but that's just a disguise. He's a mastermind in the ways of espionage." They all started looking real suspicious at him, and he jumped up and said, "Now just wait a minute, Jim, you know he's lying. I've been living here all of my life. I'm a faithful follower of Brother John Birch, and I belong to the Antioch Baptist Church, and I ain't even got a garage. You can call home and ask my wife." Then he started saying something about the way I was dressed, but I didn't wait around to hear the rest. I was too busy moving and hoping I didn't run out of luck. When I hit the ground, I was making tracks, and they were just taking my car down off the jack. So I threw the man a 20 and jumped in and fired that mother up. Mario Andretti would have sure been proud of the way I was moving when I passed that crowd coming out the door and headed toward me in a trot. And I guess I should have gone ahead and run, but somehow I just couldn't resist the fun of chasing them all just once around the parking lot. Well, they're headed for their car, but I hit the gas and spun around and headed them off in the pass. I was slinging gravel and putting a ton of dust in the air. I had them all out there stepping and fetching like their heads were on fire and their asses was catching, but I figured I'd better go ahead and split before the cops got there. When I hit the road, I was really wheeling, had gravel flying and rubber squealing, and I didn't slow down till I was almost to Arkansas. Well, I think I'm going to reroute my trip. I wonder if anybody'd think I'd flipped if I went to L.A. via Omaha.
Thinking ahead means preparing for the future. The future of our children, our grandchildren, and our wild, wonderful West Virginia. Developing our renewable energy resources is the best way to ensure a clean, sustainable way of life and safe, good-paying jobs for generations to come. Here in the Mountain State, our most abundant energy resource is the wind. Our ridges and majestic mountain peaks shape and direct the wind like stones in a mountain stream. Coal River Mountain is the ideal place for developing wind power. The Coal River Mountain Wind Farm will provide us with a source of clean energy and good jobs forever. We have the power to make our future happen now. Be a part of the clean energy solution for West Virginia by visiting coalriverwind.org or call 304-854-2182. That's coalriverwind.org, 854-2182.
It's Thursday, January 26, 2012.
Drill, baby, drill, and frack, baby, frack. Obama talks energy in his State of the Union address.
This country needs an all-out, all-of-the-above strategy.
Now, with actual clean energy.
I will not cede the wind or solar or battery industry to China or Germany.
While the climate denier Republicans double down on dirty energy.
Unless they stop us, we might pick the wrong light bulb.
Plus, speaking the forbidden words out loud.
Climate change.
All of that and more straight ahead in our Green News Report special State of the Union edition. From BradBlog.com, I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
President, look at me, I'm the president. Ruined another perfectly good night of TV. By addressing yet another joint session of Congress.
This is your Green News Report.
Is it me, or did you just do that like a year ago?
Okay, Des, before we get to our State of the Union edition, we have been remiss in welcoming aboard some of our new affiliate partners, including Turn Up the Night with Kenny Pick and Talking Left, both on the RadioOrNot.com network. Also, USA Progressive with Ray Medeiros and KPFK 90.7 Pacifica Radio right here in Los Angeles. Welcome aboard, guys. Great to have you with us. All right, Des, State of the Union, bring it.
President Obama is in Nevada and Colorado this Thursday, taking his speech on the road with a tour of several states to promote clean energy proposals from his latest State of the Union address on Tuesday, which had something for everyone on energy.
This country needs an all-out, all-of-the-above strategy that develops every available source of American energy.
He spent more time on energy than any other State of the Union address in recent memory, and he included a not-so-subtle jab at Republicans. He celebrated General Motors' return to number one in global car sales after Republicans had advocated letting GM die. But President Obama threw out plenty of red meat after that for right-wingers with lots of drill, baby, drill, and frack, baby, frack, expanding on domestic oil and gas drilling.
We've opened millions of new acres for oil and gas exploration. And tonight I'm directing my administration to open more than 75% of our potential offshore oil and gas resources. We have a supply of natural gas that can last America nearly 100 years. And my administration will take every possible action to safely develop this energy.
That fractastic estimate of 100-year supply of natural gas is questionable since the Federal Energy and Information Administration last week just revised downward their estimates for U.S. shale gas reserves by two-thirds. One independent study estimates as little as 20 years in the supply.
Nonetheless, there was plenty in that speech for the right-wingers to absolutely love. But anything in there for anyone who wasn't a right-winger?
Yes, let's listen in.
I will not walk away from the promise of clean energy. I will not cede the wind or solar or battery industry to China or Germany because we refuse to make the same commitment here. We've subsidized oil companies for a century. That's long enough. It's time to end the taxpayer giveaways to an industry that rarely has been more profitable and double down on a clean energy industry that never has been more promising.
The clean energy proposals were by far the most detailed and substantive of any State of the Union speech. And we should also point out that it's probably the first time most Americans have even heard of these initiatives since they're rarely covered in the corporate media.
Development of clean energy on enough public land to power 3 million homes. For the Department of Defense, the world's largest consumer of energy, will make one of the largest commitments to clean energy in history. The Navy purchasing enough capacity to power 250,000 homes a year.
And he even snuck in this for the first time in a long time. He said the forbidden words out loud.
The differences in this chamber may be too deep right now to pass a comprehensive plan to fight climate change.
I think he meant fight climate change, but he actually said the words out loud in a State of the Union address.
But not to do anything about it, only to blame Congress for not doing anything about it.
Well, aren't you a negative Nelly?
Speaking of negative Nellies, Indiana's Republican Governor Mitch Daniels had the task of delivering the Republican response to the State of the Union address, offering a remarkable window into the Republican alternate universe.
The extremism that stifles the development of homegrown energy or cancels a perfectly safe pipeline that would employ tens of thousands, or jacks up consumer utility bills for no improvement in either human health or world temperature, is a pro-poverty policy.
The extremism that would lead the Republican response to come out and lie about what the president is calling for, and even toss in things like thousands of jobs lost on the Keystone XL pipeline, when the company who makes the pipeline themselves has said it's hundreds, not thousands, that is what I would call extremism. It seems to me, Des, what the president was doing was making an appeal to everyone on the right and everyone on the non-right. The gamble is that everyone is going to either love him or everyone is going to hate him. Seeing as how a new poll released by CBS finds an extraordinary 91% of Americans approve of the proposals in the State of the Union address given by the president means that, well, maybe he made the right gamble after all. We'll see. For more on the energy initiatives in the State of the Union address and the Republicans' response to it, as well as all the stories we couldn't cover today, please check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Presidential Green News Report.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head-on with Bob Kincaid.
Almost 4 minutes past the hour, I'm Bob Kincaid. This is The Horn, the head-on radio network. Available in a myriad of formats, styles, and ways. Yes, you can even listen in your car if you've got a smartphone and an app, and wireless internet, an app like Tuner Radio, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and a number of others, but those are the ones that come immediately to mind. A quick update before we go to the phones, and we are going to the phones, but before we go to the phones, since Brad and Desi were talking about the filthy Keystone XL pipeline, it's only getting worse for them. Bless their hearts, Greenpeace has filed a complaint with the Securities and Exchange Commission alleging that TransCanada engaged in false or misleading statements about the Keystone XL pipeline and the millions and millions of jobs that it would create that it wouldn't. Here's what it says. Specifically, TRP has asserted that each mile of KXL pipeline constructed in the U.S. would create American jobs at a rate that is 67 times higher than job creation totals given by the company to Canadian officials for the Canadian portion of the pipeline. These false and misleading job creation numbers are part of TRP's lobbying and public relations campaign designed to create congressional pressure on the U.S. government to issue a presidential permit approving construction of KXL. Without government approval, TRP will not be able to build KXL, which will significantly impact the company's future earnings and share price. In other words, it's just another Wall Street three-card Monte bunko scam. All this jobs baloney is nothing more than an attempt to jack up the share price. Why are we not surprised? You know, yeah. So at 5 minutes past the hour, to the phones we go. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening, Brother Bob.
Brother Albert.
Hey, buddy. Hey, this is good stuff. This is turning into some good stuff. I mean, outside of the, you know, the count of New Mexico over there, you know.
Yeah,
that's ridiculous.
The man in the iron mask.
Yeah, I mean, you know, what was he in there for? I didn't catch that first part.
Well, at first they said, you're in a stolen car, boy. And then they said, you know, you look depressed. We think, you know, we probably ought to put you in the rubber room.
Damn.
And then 2 years later, he looks like the guy who's hung upside down in Monty Python's Life of Brian. You lucky bastards! Nail some sense into him, I say. Nail him up!
And then what do we got? We got Baron Newt Harkonnen over here. What's this? What the hell is that?
Oh, you're lovely. What is it? Your lovely disgustingness, my Newt.
Oh. Right? I can't believe I haven't seen that image yet.
You just put it out into the universe's little ear, and it will happen forthwith, I'll bet.
I sure hope so. Come on, who's got a more perfect face? Every time I see that Q-tip, it's just like, man, that's an extra supply of cotton on that friggin' tip. But anyway, yeah, he's a filth, isn't he? My goodness, someone cleaning out the bacon screen with that. Whee. Boy, he's a filth. But for real, you know, like they were just talking about, you know, I did catch a little bit of the State of the Union, and
I watched it.
Hey, you know, and just because Obama's going for the hook with his knee, that doesn't mean he's going to sink in the triangle. He could be going for the omoplata. You know, because that arm, that right arm is right down. And I'm telling you, these oil companies, you know, exactly, when he talks about going after the subsidy, you see, that's the only reason. You know, people talk about, oh, they're going to send it to China. I don't see that, Brother Bob. I can't see that China, who has access to some pretty good oil coming out of Iran and, you know, Nigeria and all the other places in Africa. I mean, no one's investing the kind of money that China is in Africa. And we all know what comes out of Africa, everything. I mean, you wouldn't have cell phones, you wouldn't have nothing without that. And they have more materials and, geez, cobalt, $15 trillion in cobalt and everything else, that coltan and copper and gas and diamonds and gold. I mean, so China's over there. Why are they going to want Canadian tar sands? They ain't going to be able to process it and refine it. You know, I mean, the only reason that stuff was coming down here is because of how subsidized our oil industry is. You know, like, that's...
And you know, the whole pipeline is a subsidy in its own right, because one of the chief lies that these lying bastards like to lie is that this is going to go right into American gas pumps. Well, it's not. It's going right into a tanker or another pipeline and heading for parts elsewhere.
Perhaps.
You know, the oil, as you have frequently noted and as others have noted, oil is a world market.
Yeah.
And it all more or less goes into a pool.
Mm-hmm. So, well, kind of. I mean, true, but you got to also remember, like, you know, we get we get a little bit of Libyan oil, I'm sure, on the market, but a lot of it's going to Europe. You know, like, you know, all those kinds of things, like the localities of these regions, you know how it is. Who has the best olive oil? Not here. Well, a little bit. If you know where to go, you can get a good stuff here. But you know where the best olive oil is. It's usually closest to the source.
Right.
So, you know, that's kind of, in that respect, I think we
would... But, I mean, it's like drilling in the Anwar, Albert. You know.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, we're going to... Yeah, it'll be great for American energy independence. Horse feathers. It's going to get on a boat and go to China.
Well, but even if we do, there's only 6 months of what we need. I mean,
right.
It's not even worth doing.
It's a rounding error. And so are the tar sands.
Yeah, and the tar sands, as we all know, that's mountaintop removal just with less mountains. You know, I mean, it's terrible over there. And, you know, we don't need it. We don't need it. Jesus. Batteries, for example. Right? Batteries right now, these battery packs that cost $12,000, you know, $13,000, that give you 100-mile range in a, you know, a fairly small, but, you know.
Well, are you familiar with the Fisker automobile, Albert?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was at the doctor's office, so naturally I was thumbing through a 3-year-old Motor Trend. And I saw this little diagram of the way the Fisker is laid out. It's got a gas engine in the front and an electric motor in the back. And the entire spine of the automobile is one long battery.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And the only thing the gas engine does is charge the battery. It provides no locomotion whatsoever.
Yeah.
So
well, I mean, yeah, and that's actually old. I mean, that's actually outdated. And we're not even going to need that. I mean, the thing is I made a post on the internet today about this. You know, like, people are talking about, oh, the deficit and so on and so forth. And, you know, we all know where the deficit comes from, right? You know, and it's funny how the same people that scream and cry about it, you know, are the loudest at the moment.
When they get their front feet in the trough, they're the ones running it up.
I mean, exactly. It's the Bush tax cuts and the wars. Well, we all know the Bush tax cuts and the wars. Barack Obama did that. Hussein Obama. He did. So,
don't forget the Hussein part.
Yeah, he's the warmonger, you know, so what are you going to do? Don't ever forget the same part. But anyway, so, you know, what I think that we're... I mean, when I sit here and I look at, you know, ExxonMobil, for example, they make in a quarter, right, 3 months, their profits are $80 billion. Billion.
Yes.
In a quarter. Okay. And in terms of the entire hydrocarbon energy infrastructure, the federal government gives yearly, or I would imagine year, hopefully yearly, $80 billion in subsidies. Now, when we sit here and look at, you know, the fact that solar...
Yeah, that makes you feel a little bit like you're standing on your head when what you just said.
Oh, it's... Well, that's where we've been, and at least we have a president now that's actually saying, yeah, hey, we've been subsidizing this industry for 100 years. And so I don't understand how any company that in 3 months can make $80 billion in profit needs any subsidy whatsoever.
No, at that point, you know, you're past the... It's time to take the training wheels off.
And these bastard pig-lickens want to sit here and go after welfare. Really? Do we even spend 80...
Can we drug... Hey, can we drug test the CEO of Mobil and Shell and BP and the... Because, I mean, they're welfare recipients, right?
Exactly. That's exactly my point. Where are their drug tests?
I'm sure they'd pee nothing but 100% pure Pinot Noir.
Well,
see how I worked in the pee with Pinot Noir? I'm a witty one, Albert.
You don't want to drink that pee. If you drink that pee, you're going to be a psychopath, because they're psychopaths, these CEOs. It's true, isn't that true?
Yes.
Right? They go, and then you know how people with mental disabilities and crazy people, when they pee, they're peeing like psychedelic compounds because their body can't break them down. So these peptides in a psychopath, I wouldn't even want to. Can you imagine? I mean, even if I was trapped under, you know, lava and cement and concrete and buildings in a collapse of some sort, and there was a psychopath, I wouldn't drink his urine. I wouldn't want to end my days as a crazy person like that with no friggin' soul.
Just hallucinating your brains out under the rubble.
Oh, who's going to eat each other? This cannibal shit. It's ridiculous. I'm sorry. But it's just ridiculous. I can't even believe, hey, you know, you see where these guys are going. Nowhere. No one's coming out. Scott Walker, what do we got? What do we got? A million?
Yeah, people? I mean, you're in Wisconsin. You're the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. Give us the Walker update.
Brother, I didn't sign it, and I feel guilty, but then I turn around and there's a million signatures. You know where I'm from.
But the thing is, because of this stupid loophole in the law, as I understand it, he is allowed to raise unlimited and spend unlimited money?
Who cares? There's 3 million people in Wisconsin. 1 million people signed a petition. I have tons of friends that would certainly... I mean, I even have Republican friends that whose wives are teachers who would recall him in a heartbeat. You know, like, they're Republican, but they're not crazy. You know, like, they're Republican to the
You're right. They're Richie Cunningham's dad Republicans.
Yeah, they're fighting Bob...
Lafayette,
yeah, that's him. And, you know, he was a Republican, but that was back in the day when, you know, Teddy Roosevelt and talking about, you know, how democracies have to be progressive. You know, and this is the whole thing. We sit here and we look at all the statistics. The most admired word, right, the word that the most Americans connect with is the word progressive. It's like at 73%. People like that.
Yeah, and you know, I think you just touched on something that's extremely important, Albert. You just said, and you just sort of blew right by it because it's something we all take for granted. Democracies have to be progressive.
Yeah.
And I mean, let's just take a moment with that. What happens when an alleged democracy is not progressive?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it stops being a democracy anymore, and it sort of devolves and retrograde motions into oligarchy and plutocracy and all of that nasty fascist BS. That's what happens when democracies aren't progressive, and it kind of deserves to be hammered on a little bit.
Amen. Because
that's where we're going.
Exactly.
You know,
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, just, you know, where are we going and why are we in this hand car?
Well, exactly. Do you want a leader? Do you want a future where your leader, the first time he plays golf, has a perfect game, all holes in one? Or do you want, you know how I am with Star Trek. You know how I love this, you know, science fiction is the future. It always has, ever since it's been created, it's been the future. So that's the way to go. And as much as I love Newt Gingrich's, you know, hey, moon base, you know, in my second term, I ain't dealing with 2 minutes of Newt Gingrich's term. That ain't gonna happen. We ain't gonna get there on gas and coal, you jackass, you Q-tip, greasy, bacon, freaking, oh man, that jowls on that guy. Don't you just want to box it? Just one shot in slow motion with that camera that holds that can capture a photon? Goodness gracious. Wouldn't that something that, oh, just a right hook. Boom. Sorry.
Yeah, no.
He looks like that judge from The Wall. I'm sorry. That guy just drives me nuts the way, every time I see his face, I just think bloviating scrotum bag anus. That's all I see.
Two nights in a row with the A word.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. I understand.
It's just, it's there. It's right there. Look, it's right there. And this is just exactly like our future. You know what I mean? I mean, if we need solar panels on every... Look at China. China is dumping solar panels into this country. We need jobs, don't we? Let's put some solar panels on some... And Bob, it's happening, brother. It's happening. I'm telling you. Hopefully, I know Obama... At best, so far, has been a conservative Republican, Democratic conservative, I guess you can call him. And I just hope we see a little bit more of this progressiveness in the next term. I mean, you know he's going to win. I don't care who they put up, Newt or Mitt or Mittens or whatever his name is. That guy is ridiculous. They don't even like him, and nobody likes Newt. Come on, give me a break, for real.
No, really.
Where's Rick Santorum? Wait. Didn't they all get a turn? Who's next? And they're even calling for more. Oh, come on, Republicans. One guy can step up. Who's going to do it? Nobody. Obama's going to be a second term, no doubt. So, hopefully now we can see also a complete flushing of these tea parties. We got to flush these toilet papers.
Oh, did you catch... Right? Yeah, speaking of tea baggers, did you catch that story about... President not sure getting off the plane in Arizona yesterday and that cranky, creepy-ass Jan Brewer teabagging governor getting up and shaking her creepy, bony little finger in his face.
Ooh. Yeah, and he was just like, ooh, get away from me, crazy lady. What do you want from me? That's what it looked like to me. He was like, ugh, get out of here. What's wrong with you? And, you know, she's a crazy. I mean, come on. Who is she? She's in Arizona.
Yeah, the governor even.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Arizona's right next to New Mexico, a stand, Arizona stand. You know, and hopefully the people there. I do have a friend that's moving back to Wisconsin because he, you know, our winter has been so mild this year.
Yes, it's still getting the break, are you?
I mean, we got a little bit, but nothing real significant. You know, like, yeah, you know, it's nothing. It's one shovel. Let me give you a break. So, you know, cold, bah, it's nothing.
You and Gonzo aren't even working up a sweat.
No, you don't even have to. I mean, you sit there. I was sweating. I came inside. I was like, oh, I bundled up too much. This is ridiculous. Where's the cold? So, I mean, and you do get used to it after a time up here, you know. But, you know, I hate to say I'm not complaining, but the thing is I have to complain because that's not normal. This is not normal. This is not what I'm, you know, used to. In terms of where temperatures go and stuff in Wisconsin, my lilac shouldn't be blooming in January. You know, I mean,
no, really, they shouldn't.
If the tulips are up
in February, but then you know, you remind me of something. I got an email from our chat room moderator Lottie yesterday, Albert, and he was talking about and this is one of those little moments that only happens on the horn. He was telling me about how his dad got his first heart attack on account of their fig trees. He said, Lottie said when he was a boy that they had a couple of mission fig trees there where he was growing up, and anybody who's ever eaten a raw fig knows that they are the stuff of absolute delight. And Lottie was talking about how his dad got his first heart attack because he had to dig in a trench because they had to dig up the fig tree and bury it in a trench every winter so that it wouldn't freeze to death. And now you ain't, and we're talking about Massachusetts here. And now you don't have to.
No.
And the U.S. DA, the United States Department of Agriculture, has actually revised, because of climate change, has actually revised the growing zones. Anybody who's ever gotten a nursery catalog says, well, you know, this peach tree will not grow in zone 4, but it will grow in zone 3, all of it. Well, those are all based on charts generated by the U.S. United States Department of Agriculture, and they've all been revised warmer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's real.
Yeah. I mean, now, don't get me wrong. If we can sit here and mitigate some of the damage we've done by, you know, aggressively going after our renewable power energy infrastructure that is already here. I always hear people talk about, like, oh, we don't have the infrastructure for green energy.
Well, they've never driven across Indiana and Texas or Illinois and seen what I saw.
Yeah, Brother Bob, every roof. Don't even worry about...
Absolutely. Every roof, every shed.
And every house is connected by wire in this country. You know, and it's done to code, to OSHA standards, so it's not like, you know, you look at Mumbai, and it's like a extension cord orgy in the friggin' street. You know what I'm talking about. Everyone, anybody's ever watched any kind of, you know, travel channel show, you've seen these streets or any documentary on these things, you know, that's scary. That's scary kind of electricity. We don't even have to, everything's already connected. A lot of it is laid in conduit and to code. And yeah, right, there's some spots that need to be updated, and that's called jobs. That's infrastructure. That's all here. We already have it. If we have roof space, and everyone has roof space, you know, these solar panels aren't that heavy. They don't weigh a lot. You know, I mean, snow weighs far more than these solar panels would ever impact. So if you live in a place that gets snow, I'm sure your roof's a coat and you got oak beams and it's going to be, you know, structurally sound. So, you know, if we get aggressive on this, I could survive with Wisconsin. You know, I mean, I could give my grandchildren and great-grandchildren 1,000 years from now if we're in zone 3 instead of zone, you know, 7, wherever we were. You know, I mean, at the same time, though, now I know that, you know, when I have great-great-grandchildren, electricity is going to be so cheap. I mean, actually, I think, let me take that back. In our lifetime, while we're still breathing oxygen, I think electricity will be cheaper, so cheap, we won't even meter it. That's where I think we're going. That's where I think the future lies.
Oh, like that story out of Germany a few months ago where everybody had to take... please, turn all your lights on, really. We've got too much electricity. There's been too much wind.
Yeah. Yeah.
That story.
I mean, Yeah, and this is what I'm saying. I mean, you know, like Great Britain's powering, a full third of every house in that country by wind, you know, and they're looking to double that in the next 5 years. You know, I mean, and these are other countries that are doing it. We should be leading the way. We should have been leading the way since the Carter administration, but when we got the Reagans, and so, yay. But I think, with China coming, the reason Solyndra is where they're at is because of us sitting there and giving that technology away and sitting there and next thing polysilicon is $33 a kilogram instead of $130 a kilogram. And, American companies are going to have to do a lot of catching up. And if anybody needs some subsidies, it's them. You know, it's Cold River Mountain. It's, any other, green technology that we have in this country. You know, it's battery technology. I mean, like I was saying earlier, batteries that are cost $12,000 to $13,000 now that give you about 100 miles for range, those are going to turn, in the next, 3 years, they're going to be about $3,500. And in 2020, they'll be, $1,200. Now, you think about that for a second. You have Nissan, right, fulfilling Tesla's prediction regarding wireless, energy. That's a corporation that's producing a commercial product that's wirelessly recharging their electric vehicles. And then we have batteries dropping down. I mean, I hope this is within our lifetime, 2020. I think we can make it. Come on now, 8 years, we got this. We could do 8 years, and in 8 years, that's where we're going to be. And I'm telling you, everyone's going to have it. That's what their highways are going to be powered and charged. And they're going to be charging your battery. When you pay a toll, now you're not going to have to go through some scary, privatized, Indiana, dark, scary, Texas chainsaw, or Indiana chainsaw massacre kind of toll stop. Now you're going to sit here and you're going to be, you're not even going to have to stop unless you want to pee. Because you're going to be charging as you're driving down the road. This is where we're going. This is exactly where we're going, and we definitely don't need no Mitt Romney, Newt Harkonian, none of this crap. None of these people. These people don't know anything about the future.
I can't wait till one of the graphic artists in the Horn family sends me Newt Harkonian, because I will. I'll forward that to you immediately. I'll send it to News Ninja Susan to put up on the website. It's a beautiful thing you've come up with.
Oh, you're so gorgeous. Oh, your pustules. Oh, Newt. Oh, and if you want to throw, what's her name?
Oh, who?
Wife.
Oh, Callista.
Callista, there you go.
Callista, Ballista, Bombastic.
She's just so Stepford. Oh, goodness. But anyway, she would be perfect.
Well, she looks like she's been hosed down by Jack Nicholson's Joker's Smilex.
Yeah, but perfect. She took a bath.
Bathed in the stuff.
Yeah, we sit here, I can't believe some of these things that we have to deal with in terms of the ridiculousness of the Republicans. Every time we sit here and turn around.
It's just getting so much worse for Willard. I don't know if you saw this or not.
Oh.
But we all found out that he had Cayman Islands accounts and some Swiss bank accounts, and they had to close those Swiss accounts down in 2009 because some advisor looked at him and said, Willard, you don't want these. You don't want these if you're planning on being the president in your magic underwear. Oopsie. Most people don't realize it, but when you run for president, there's a lot of paperwork involved, and you got to have somebody do the paperwork.
Except the birth certificate, and nobody checks that.
Yeah, right. Yeah. All right. Well, that's what Orly Tates is for. God, I can't even say that name without feeling like I need to go and get out the Germex or something, or Sulfadine or calamine lotion. God, I've got an Orly Tates.
Yeah, she has a name that makes you want to have an oatmeal bath.
Yes.
Like, or
Calgon, take me away.
You need.
Well, it turns out that he turned in 2 years worth of tax returns, right? We found out that Willard paid 13.9% in taxes, and he gave more money to the Mormon Church than he paid to the federal government.
Ooh.
Yeah. However, there was an oopsie moment in all of that paperwork that you have to file if you want to run for being the president.
Hmm.
He failed to list About 23 different investment funds.
Okay.
11 of those were in places like Bermuda, the Cayman Islands, and Luxembourg.
Uh-huh.
Now, this isn't something that's coming from Left Wing Daily. This is out of a story by the L.A. Times. Mm-hmm. A whole bunch of them are associated with Bain Capital.
Mm-hmm.
So they have been now, and they've got oodles of money, or had oodles of money in them, whatever. The Willard Romney campaign is saying, well, those are trivial.
Yeah.
Again, you know, tone deaf. You know, millions of dollars, trivial. They're just trivial. A few hundred thousand here, a few hundred thousand there. You know, we just got a little gold squirreled away in the mattress in Switzerland in case Willard suddenly has to start firing up the family chorus and singing Climb Every Mountain and heading over the Alps.
Yeah, I mean, and Brother Bob, really, 2.3% in Jewish war gold, that's not that much.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, really. It's a pittance.
Yeah, it's
You know, it's one of those Daffy Duck moments. Eh, it's a living.
He said he was Jewish. That's why he got into it. You know, I'm supporting the Jews. They'll love me for this one.
They're going to have to make some minor technical amendments to the disclosure form so Willard can keep running for president.
Minor technical. Oh, I love you.
Please do not adjust your politics.
Yeah. So it's going to be Newt for real? Goodness.
Well, I mean, out of the poll data out of Florida says that he and Willard are neck and neck going into the primary on Tuesday.
And Newt don't have a neck, so.
Well. Yeah, and you know, I feel bad about this moon base thing because, like I said, I believe in that stuff. I want that to happen. But I don't.
Yeah,
but if Newt is in charge of moon base Gingrich, it's gonna be this place with big rocket platforms that are aimed at everybody.
Yeah.
And so we'll militarize space. No, I don't want. I don't like we haven't already, of course. I don't want that. I want.
They'll charge for air too.
You're damned right.
That's right. Cracked-o. Anyway, 2 weeks. 2 weeks. I mean, for real. That's
Capricorn 1722 carousel awaits.
What are we doing? And that's like the most, what he said about the moon base is the only thing I've heard a Republican say that hasn't recounted their previous beliefs in years. All right, yeah, that makes sense. That's like one little glisten, one little sparkle. And he's right, yeah, I think he's right, besides the missiles, besides all that. I mean, we need, yeah, sure, let's get there, let's move there. There's no way we're getting there in coal.
I mean,
that's the reason I want to go, yeah.
Yeah, and you know, manufacturing the stuff we need to get to Mars is going to be a hell of a lot easier on the moon.
Space glass. You need space glass.
Right, because, you know, the factories in China, if you read in the New York Times the last few days, the factories in China are entirely tied up in doing the evil bidding of Apple Corp.
That's true.
That article earlier today, I was tweeting all about it because we get up kind of creepy early around here. I was tweeting that stuff early this morning because, I mean, before the first cup of decaf, Albert, I'm reading this story about a man named Lai Xiaodong, 22-year-old, graduated from college in China, had himself a college degree, and he was excited because he wanted to try his hand in, you know, engineering. You know, he was a smart guy, wanted to try his hand in the happening world of free market capitalism. So he moves down to Chengdu, which is where Foxconn is, and he's like lower level management, and he's in charge. He's lower level management in charge of the aluminum polishing unit for the iPad factory. And he makes, because he gets lots of overtime, mind you, Albert, he makes $22 a day. You don't spend it all in one place. And he lives in a little tiny room just big enough to hold a twin bed, a dresser, and a small writing table. when he's not working all those overtime hours. And he's hoping to get married, and he wants to save his money and buy an apartment because he's got a sweetheart from the village. And then one day, because Apple didn't give much of a damn about how much... he would come home, he would come back from work, and no matter how many showers he took, his hair, Albert, would sparkle, and the little crevices by his eye and in his nose would sparkle with aluminum dust. And one day, all that aluminum dust, Albert, went boom. And Li Xiaodong went boom with it. And so a couple of weeks after Li Xiaodong went boom, the company, Foxconn, sent his ashes back to the village. And 6 weeks later, they wired him $150,000 and hoped that would be enough. And it happens, you know, four people die in this explosion, you know, eight people die in that explosion. It gets so bad that people commit suicide by jumping off the dorm, and the answer, Foxconn's answer to that is put you know, nets and catch them when they bounce and send them right back to work.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you know, these aren't stories appearing again. These aren't stories appearing at some liberal website. You know, this is the New York Times, which is highly suspect, and you got to wonder how this thing got through because it's all, you know, Apple is more secretive than the CIA. And so everything is based on anonymous sources.
Yeah, I just watched the South Park Human Centipede episode.
Ooh, I don't think I know that one.
Oh, you know, that's the newest season, season 15, I think it's the first episode of season 15. It's on southparkstudios.com. They stream all the seasons, every episode they ever make, it's all there, available free. So they bleep out shit, but you know, F bombs and everything else fly, so I don't even understand who's bleeping what. I don't get it. But yeah, it's all there. Wow, definitely watch it. Yeah, gather the family around. They're all old enough, I hope.
Without a doubt. But it's very disturbing because you know, we had this thing when he died where everybody tried to make a saint out of Steve Jobs, but it turns out that if you peel back the layer and you look at that whole miserable manufacturing process, because it's not everybody that does it. HP does a better job of it. Amazon does a better job of it. Because Apple is like a cross between a Walmart and a coal company. Because they have to have every last drop of profit squeezed out of the process. So, and that's what causes the aluminum polishing plants to go boom. Because there was not enough money left over to put in appropriate ventilation systems. And so, you know, lo and behold, Steve Jobs was drenched in human blood.
Yes.
And full disclosure here, by virtue of the technological needs that we have here, we have, because of the way the setup is, an HTC Evo phone, because it's a 4G phone, but you can't see it worth a damn if you're trying to shoot live video with it using Ustream Broadcaster in, you know, light that humans live in. And so what we do is we set that up as a Wi-Fi hotspot and use an iPhone to do the Ustream Broadcaster stuff with, because it's got better optics and you can actually see the screen in broad daylight. So I'm complicit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm complicit in these problems in China.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no getting around it. And I feel really, really nasty about it.
Mm-hmm. However, may I?
Yeah, please.
Because I'm not very hopeful on this. This is something I'm very hopeful on. And, of course, everyone knows my heart. My heart bleeds. My heart's right here on my sleeve. That's where I wear it. You know, but what I'm going to say isn't callous. But what I'm going to say is, you know, taking it a macro view. You know, if not for that, if not for these conditions, just like the prohibition, just like everything else, if not for these conditions, there would be no progress. So China, and I think what's going to happen there, is a place that executes, you know, that used to execute people for having a joint. You know, now they have villagers coming out, you know, 30,000 villagers coming out protesting a coal power plant in their village. And the government says, okay, we'll put solar panels and wind. That was, you know, that just happened recently. You know, so we're sitting here looking at Foxconn, and Foxconn is driving the union movement. And we all know what the union movement did here in this country. You know, if it wasn't for prohibition, women wouldn't have gotten at it in the streets. And if they didn't get out in the streets to stop their men from drinking up all their money, they wouldn't have ever sat there and said, hey, if that worked for that, we're going to work for, you know, getting us some. And that was actually all happening at the same time. So, you know, yeah, Foxconn is a terrible. I've never purchased any Foxconn product other than the little iPod thing. And it is a nice, it's an amazing piece of technology. It really is. You can't even deny it. However, yeah, my blood's on my hands too. It's on all our hands. It's everywhere. You know, and besides the fact, you don't have to go to Apple to have blood on your hands. You can go anything.
Oh, no. You know, and that's the larger point, Albert, is that capitalist consumer culture is predicated on us all being good and bloody. Jesus, you know, you want bloody? Go pump gas in your vehicle.
Oh, yeah, or even the phone I'm on, I'm talking to you on. I'm sure it has some coltan in it.
Yeah, sure. You know,
look at that.
The
Wanda.
Lady, you know, ladies wearing diamond engagement rings that were given as tokens of fondest esteem and adoration. You know, odds are, you know, if you scratch it, rubble it. Yeah, oh, what is that pink color? No, this is not a ruby. Oh, that's blood. Yeah, and we have to all be complicit in the process, or else it collapses.
Well, but that also gives us the opportunity to take responsibility. And if these illegal hidden unions have enough support in places like China, that, you know, it's illegal to have a lot of these unions because there's already a union.
Right, the state-sponsored one.
Yeah, and there are tons of people.
Right, and you know, the question that I kept asking as I read this New York Times article, Albert, was, who the owns Foxconn? Now, where did those suckers come from?
Yeah, you know who they are. They're the same people. They're the Mitt Romneys, the hedge funds.
Yeah.
They're all these investment banks.
And they've got the capital to put up plants that have workstations for 300,000 people. Because, you know, in the People's Republic of China, 300,000 people is another one of those rounding errors.
Yeah, for real. Seriously.
I mean, the whole plant, God forbid, could blow up and everybody could die, and there would be 300,000 more people at the gates the next morning saying, I'd like to have a job here for $2 a day. One of the things that was really telling out of this story, Albert, was the sign that hangs in the Foxconn factory. And you were talking about, you know, Foxconn is building the union. And they are.
Mm-hmm.
The sign that hangs in the factory is, work hard today or you'll work harder tomorrow looking for a new job.
Oh, goodness.
I mean, that's straight out of Detroit. That's straight out of the steel mills at the turn of the century. That's straight out of the coal mines. You know what? Yeah, I mean, that happened down here when Union Carbide was digging its Gauley Mountain Tunnel that was where they blasted through pure sandstone, nothing but silica, and 5,000 people died at the hands of Union Carbide. They called Gauley Bridge, West Virginia, the town of the living dead. And if you went, boss, I need to take a break, I can't breathe. Oh, you can take a break. You're fired, son. There's somebody right behind you wants your job. Goodbye now. Yeah, you work hard today, you can work harder tomorrow looking for work.
Arbit Mach Fry, right?
That's bingo.
There you go. You know, that's out on Auschwitz right there. And, you know, but honestly, I mean, that's what they're doing. And their callousness fuels this. You know, so an ounce, I mean, a gram of union support in the United States in China is, you know, a ton.
Yeah.
You know, just the fact of the conditions, they're not going to stand for it. You know, like, and that's the other thing. Now we have the Internet. Now we have this whole world that moves at the speed of light. And we're sitting here with, you know, like Foxconn, like, man, the things they're making are going to enable their freedom. I mean, they're going to take their chains and they're going to make, you know, keys and lockpicks with it, and they're going to get out of these chains. And I'm telling you, and that's the thing. This, look at the solar panels, Brother Bob. If you don't have to pay for electricity, you know, or, I mean, I'm talking pay $160, $200, you know, $250, or whatever your electricity.
Well, look what happens to the economy. All that stuff you can pay for buy.
Oh, my goodness, all that debt you can pay down. Yeah. All that this you can do that. And, I mean, that's just in terms of that. So if that happens in China, right? At the same time, they're building a middle class that rivals what we did in the 40s and 50s. My goodness, that's going to, I mean, let's be honest. Granted, for as much blood as we have, you know, up to our necks and lips, you know, or over our head in some cases, you know, for every drop, but, you know, the fact is every time Americans, you know, rose up, and we've been stagnant for since the 70s, but that's true, but when we rose up, that did raise the whole world. You know, that raises awareness. That raises more people, and over the years, more and more people sit there, and the Doctors Without Borders are formulated, and so on and so forth, and then people get attention to that, and we actually start really, you know, doing the things that we should have done after 9/11. We should, you know, we start teaching people that, you know, to read and teaching them how to farm. You know, Ox Farm is one thing. You know, I mean, all these things come out, you know, of just this greater awareness. So I don't know. I see the fact that now that we're traveling at the speed of light, you know, almost everything's possible. You know, and I think it's not going to be, I don't think it's going to be a bad thing. I don't think the sky is falling. I really don't. I don't know. I mean, I think we're right on the edge of, you know, of immortality, in a sense.
We are at what some would refer to as cusp.
At the cusp, exactly. Yeah. We can fall, but I don't think we're going to. We don't want to. I don't think the species wants to. I think everyone knows what the species wants. You know, if everyone has electrons, man, the possibilities are endless. They really, really are. I mean, you know, we could really see the transformation. And in our lifetime, the world completely transformed. I mean, in maybe twice.
Oh, and by the way, backing up just for a minute, Albert, and I think, you know, I think your optimism is something that we need a big dose of from time to time, and it is possible. It's a matter of what Reverbo has referred to from time to time, of just looking at the necks and the wing nuts and the John Birchers and say, listen, guys, you know, we've been sitting here idling the bus for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to close the doors now, and we're leaving for the future, and y'all can stay.
Yep.
And that's a fundamental realization that we have to come to, that what we're all these things that you describe as being possible are things that we are going to have to do without about 20% of the population of this country. We are going to have to put up with them being an absolute millstone around our necks with every step that we take. With them kicking and wailing and it's not according to God's plan for us to have free electricity. Yeah. Thou shalt not wear the raiment of. But by the way, Marty did write in a couple of minutes ago with more suggestions. He says, well, yeah, there's Newt Harkonnen. There's Newt the Hutt. Where else can we go? Willard as a Ferengi?
He is a Ferengi. Look at that. He's got the ears already. Yeah, he does, and he's got the helmet. You just gloss that over with some skin and some bumpy, you know, a bumpy brow, and yeah, and tie that into his ears. Perfect, perfect. You can do it. I'm sure you can do it. I believe in anybody who has any kind of Photoshop skills. I know you can. I've seen it. It's possible. You know, Brother Bob, we really are on the cusp. And we are going to have to drag them along. You know, I think, you know, that statue in the middle of, you know, in front of Wall Street of the bull, you know, we need to be updated. We need to put a ring in its neck, I mean, in its nose, and a yoke on its neck.
And garlands on its horns, a la the ancient Romans.
And snip its sack, its little scrot sack, and then that bull is going to be useful. Because a bull running through the streets goring people, it's been the system that we've had since 1776, and we need to move past that. We need to turn this bull into something useful. We need to turn all that rage and energy and funnel it in good, in progressive directions. You know, and you know, we got to regulate Wall Street. We got to tax these people with all their buys. It was at 0.05% they want, or 1% or whatever it is per transaction tax. Of course, and you know, yeah. Dude, if you're paying capital gains, your ass can pay 35-50%. What are you talking about? You don't do anything. You don't do anything. Mitt Romney makes $100 million. What did he? He's unemployed. He doesn't do anything.
He is, to coin a phrase from their own lexicon, he's a useless eater.
Well, he's a producer. Oh, he's a producer.
He's a job creator. Nah, he's a job cremator. That, by the way, you got some fan mail in. Kim just wrote in and said, I really like Albert. He's a voice we all need to hear. He's full of hope. He believes in us. Thank you, Albert.
Well, thank you, Kim. And, you know, that's the thing is one by one. You know, that's how we do this. This is how the horn was built. This is how everything. And I'm telling you, the horn is a cutting edge of consciousness in terms of our political discussion in this country.
Even if things do go a little sideways from time to time, like they did last night. Well,
of course it does, brother. Of course it does. That's the way it goes. That's the way it goes on the cutting edge. It has to be that way. Now you got to be flexible, right? The flexible reed survives, and that's us. And I'm telling you. This is the world that my children are going to inherit. My children are never going to know nothing. Electricity bill? What are you talking about? That'd be like, you know, electricity bills that are $200 a month for my children.
Grandpa, show us one of those funny electricity bills you keep talking about.
Yeah. It's going to be like an icebox was to me when I was growing up. An icebox? What do you mean an icebox? What are you talking about? That doesn't make any sense. Why do you call it an icebox? There's ice in the tray that keeps it all cold. What are you talking about? That's how it was when I was a kid. And they're going to sit there and they're going to be like,
what do you mean you had to get out and turn a handle to crank the car? That's just dumb.
That's ridiculous. What are you talking about? We just get in and... What do you mean there was dirty gases and all this other stuff? And this is the thing. Once we, you know, the more we whittle it down, the more we make it accessible, right? There's been studies that come out, 95% of all trips taken in America every day could be done with an electric vehicle. Because it's all within the range.
It's within that 100 miles.
Exactly. At our today's...
Well, and that's, you know, that's where the technology has to go a little bit further, Albert, because it is, and that statistic exists because most of America in the 21st century in 2012 is urbanized. Okay?
Yes, sir, brother.
And I mean that I use that word meaning that we live in cityscapes,
yes.
not the way that Rush Limbaugh says, you know, that urban music. No. But the questions that, and we've talked about this before, the other question that has to be answered is, what do we do about rural America? Because the one thing that stops me in my tracks when I think about an electric vehicle, you know, a straight-up plug-in vehicle, is that my trips aren't 100 miles. I could not go and pick up the horn's mail and sit down and meet with Boss Man Wayne and then drive home.
That's right, Brother Bob needs...
I would go somewhere around the middle of the New River Gorge Bridge, and I think we've got a jumper, Bill.
Yeah.
No, I'm out of electric juice.
Brother Bob needs a Tesla. We need to get Brother Bob at least a Tesla S. Tesla S, you can have 300 miles.
That would be that'd be nice.
And granted, you're going to pay for it, but as I said, in the next few years, I mean...
It gets cheaper.
They're going to plummet. They're going to get cheaper and cheaper. And that's the other thing, is once you pay for it, like with solar panels on your roof, once you're done paying, you know, right, everyone pays $160, $200 per month to electricity, and it only keeps going up, right? So if you had a loan and you had, you know, you put solar panels up on the roof, right, the company comes out, and hopefully, this is what I'm talking about, we talk about subsidies, the government would subsidize each American, you know, citizen, they would subsidize the American citizen for, you know, solar panels, so where we would get a tax break at the end of the year, what have you, and that they did it with my furnace, and they do it with this. You know how tax, everyone knows how this works, right? So you would get your half, you know, because it's basically about half, because it's 25% state, depending on what state you are, depending on what year it is. At least when I was looking back in the day, when solar panels cost twice as much as they do now, you know, these solar panels, they were covering half of the cost, which would be about $10,000, which would be about $200 a month for 5 years, and you'd be done. Right, in terms of financing. So if you're done with that in 5 years, these panels live 50. And you don't have a bill. I mean, do you see the freedom?
Believe me. And by the way, a little bit of that good old empirical data, there's nothing quite like it. Kim and Ray took a big road trip from Michigan to Florida. And Kim just said, the last time I used gas in my Volt was in Georgia. We've been in Florida now since December 27th, 2011, and everywhere we go, we're only using electric. Bob, this is a way of life we cannot afford to not to pass on to our kids.
Amazing. Yeah, that's amazing. You know, and the Volt has been on my radar as well. I mean, and that's another one, you know, but that's another one that's rated at the 100-mile range in terms of electricity, and you see how much versatility and travel someone's getting, and they haven't put gas in.
But it's got a gas engine in it, so that's okay.
Yeah, and it does, and you can. I'm sure. I think the Volt you can plug in, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, and if your battery gets you from A to B, then you're getting to A to B, and you get back to A. A to B to A, A B to
well,
A.
Well, and, you know, the other big thing that's come along is the Toyota Prius V. It's a station wagon. It's
nice.
It's got comfortable seating for five and a ton of cargo room.
Yep.
So it it doesn't look like George Jetson's car.
No. And Brother Bob, if we took some of that stimulus money that we give to the hydrocarbon industry, right, including coal, right, the $80 billion subsidy that we give them every year, right, here you go, here, just for existing, oh, you've got so much money, we didn't know what to get you, so we got you some more money kind of thing, gift, right, welfare to these corporate bastards, right, if we took a little bit of that as well, and instead of just throwing it into solar panels and windmills and, you know, seaweed for diesel fuel and algae for diesel fuel, we could also throw a little bit into it for a Manhattan project for a carbon solid-state nanotube battery, which... Just a tip, anyone could Google carbon nanotubes and batteries, you'll see that MIT is increasing just lithium batteries by adding carbon nanotubes to the tips of the electrodes. They're increasing it by 10 orders of magnitude in terms of how fast they can charge, how much energy they can release, and everything else. It's just crazy. So imagine if we actually sit there and really put some research into this. And really put some research into it. Oh, I don't know, $20 billion? $10 billion? If you were president, what would you put?
And you know what? With all of this optimism, the potential that you're describing in this future, you're going to giggle at what I've got in front of me right now. David in Tennessee just sent this along. New polling data out among Republicans all over the United States. Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich leads Willard Romney among Republican voters. By a margin of 37% to 28% nationally. Okay.
Yeah.
The frothy one is third at 18%, and cranky old Ron Paul is fourth with 12.
Oh.
But here's the fun part. This is the blast. This is the part where Albert giggles and sees the potential of that future which he is describing. Democratic pollster Peter D. Hart, who conducted the survey with Republican pollster Bill McInturf, said Gingrich is Goldwater. In the general election, Gingrich not only takes down his ship, he takes down the whole flotilla because he is so, Romney fares best against the president in a head-to-head, trailing Obama by 6 points among registered voters, 49 to 43%.
Okay.
Obama right now beats Gingrich by 55 to 37%.
Bring on, Barron freaking Newkirk.
That's a 7-point jump from a month ago. You know, I our buddy Dennis in Kentucky and who was the other one? I think it was Ray sent along the same graphic. You guys, you know, the Horn family gets on a wavelength.
Synchronicity.
Yeah, exactly. And it's a photograph of Romney, Willard, you know, Willard Romney, Dr. Newton Leroy Gingrich, the frothy mixture, and cranky old Ron Paul. Yeah, there's a bunch of queers in there. and the grand I know. Yeah, you're doing queer things.
He's taking his pants off and dancing with me. Goodness. I think that guy's a queer.
You know, the entire world owes a debt of gratitude to Sacha Baron Cohen, if for nothing else but that one scene. You know, Jim mentioned it a month or so ago, and I had to go back and rewatch it, and you know, I had to.
Yeah.
I was drooling. Yeah, it was bad. But anyway, so you've got these four people in a 4-panel photograph, and there's just words across it that says simply, the committee to re-elect Barack Obama.
Nice. Yeah, exactly. I mean, you know what, and this is the thing. Obama can be a conservative Democrat. Then that just makes it easier for, you know, because honestly, when I hear Bernie Sanders on a show that has an audience, or anybody else, you know, even Van Jones, I never hear such enthusiasm in the crowd for the things they say. You know, and Bernie Sanders, you know, where he's a socialist or whatever, independent. You know, he's like one of the true...
Yeah, he wants to create one of those European social welfare states.
Man, goodness gracious.
You know, so, where the people eat and get to go to the doctor and all those un-American things.
Exactly.
Jesus.
And, you know, and that's...
Are we sure it's not Friday and I can't just start drinking?
Brother Bob, you can certainly... It's winter. You can drink.
Not here, it's not.
Oh, it's not? Oh, what do you... Yeah, how's it going down in the mountaintop removal zone? Like, what's the weather like on the moon?
Well, it's...
Is it dusty?
Not, well, yeah. But it's down a little bit with the rain. The New River is at flood stage. So is the Gauley.
Oh, wonderful.
And it was, let's see, it was 62 degrees today.
Oh.
I was sweating in a short sleeve shirt.
Oh, lovely. Yeah. Oh, that's nice. Yeah.
And
no impact. Mankind makes no impact.
Yeah, it's not. No, we didn't do that. That was God's will. God's will.
No, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's His blessing upon us to help us cut our power bills.
Yeah, He's radiating.
Yeah, except at my house where, you know, anything below 95 degrees is freezing.
Yeah, God's spread eagle now. You know, if he was laying with his legs, you know, together, and now he's spread eagle. And
yeah, right, exactly. Just pushing that jet stream back.
Yeah. Can you just see it? The flowing gray. I'm sorry.
No, but what scares me out of all this, Albert, is that we're gonna wind up getting a blizzard in May.
Or rain.
Because you know, climate change is not just about the weird weather. It's about everything being off kilter. Like autumn came, and it stayed summer until late November, except for one freak snowstorm when we played Rutgers up in New Jersey. And, you know, winter's here, and it's kind of like April. Yeah, so, I mean, you get the idea. Brother Albert, this has been a magnificent conversation. Thank you for your hopefulness. I say that sincerely. And it's always a beautiful thing. You take care.
Oh,
and, you know, just because it's not snowing doesn't mean that you can't nip at the brandy.
Hey, maybe a little later.
Yeah, a little bit.
Maybe a little.
Yeah, just a little.
All right,
Brother Bob. All right, take care, Brother Albert. Bye now. Brother Albert, the sage of Southwest Wisconsin. Hey, welcome to the program.
Bob.
Sandra.
You know, I got to do it. Listen, so I can't pay no doctor bill, but Whitey's on the moon. 10 years from now, I'll be paying still while Whitey's on the moon. This fool is not talking about going to the moon.
Yeah, he is. And I, you know, that was the first thing that came to my mind is, you know, that's something, you know, you think back to the Apollo program. We got the Apollo program and Medicare in the same basic political and temporal space. This is not that America, Sandra.
No, there's so many. I mean, I just sort of laughed out loud. I'm like, you know, we got 46, 50 million odd people, you know, according to the government, in poverty in this country. I mean, it's just, there is no line that will run to accommodate what the hell he's talking about. It's fantasy world. Much like, remember when Bush said we were going to Mars and that lasted for about 2 hours? Remember that?
Did it last that long?
That was so bizarre.
But I am. I'm such a, you know, I grew up with the heroism of Alan Shepard and John Glenn and the Apollo astronauts. And you know, I hear that stuff and I immediately go, oh, cool. But I grew up reading science fiction and all that stuff. But there are realities here that have to be dealt with, not only can we not go to the moon, we can't go across country until we deal with people who give more money to their church than they pay in taxes.
Oh, I know. Well, no, listen, I was wondering if you've managed to look at that. The new Gingrich is going all out. The latest upcoming movie from his little pack. Did you see that?
I haven't seen it, but I saw the reporting on it.
Well, it's called Blood Money. Who are he kidding with those dog whistles? Newt Gingrich ain't effing around. Now, you know, I just think it's a whistle to these people who think Mormonism is a cult, you know?
Yeah. It's kind of the other end of the stick from how he has to deal with Barack Obama. If Newt could get away with it, you know what word he would use to describe Barack Obama?
Oh, well, no, that's what I was laughing at. You know that Blow? I forget his first name. Something
Charles?
Yeah, and he some tweet that said, damn, I'm tired. Why don't you go ahead and say the N-word? I mean, I was dying. He was talking about Newt.
Yeah.
He said food stamps? Damn, why don't you just go ahead and say the damn word?
Well, and, you know, this thing from the handwritten first draft of his world-changing speech on American civilization in 1993, Asians understand entrepreneurship, Latinos get it about half, and African-Americans hardly at all. Entrepreneurship.
Oh, no, I know a lot of entrepreneurs. He tricking. He really tripping.
Well, I think we've got tonight's new word.
No, You know. Anyway, I think that it's funny, though, that he's able to cover all bases, but I think the Goldwater comparison is interesting, which explains why the GOP is now in full panic mode.
Yeah, that remark about if Newt takes down Willard, we're going to do a backroom deal and we'll get Mitch Daniels or we'll get Jeb Bush or, you know, we'll get somebody, but not Newt.
Well, no, but the problem is, you know, while they were cheering Citizens United, it's coming to bite their asses because guess what?
Oh.
Guess what, Republicans? Now a person can get one fat-ass billionaire and run his whole election, and if you say to all your other GOP people, pull the money, who cares? Newt has this dude that has $21 billion. So what you going to do?
Yeah, and the $21 billion is just laying around making more billions.
And that fool just wants to be a power player. He already said it. I saw an interview with that guy from Las Vegas.
Adelson?
He's just a right-wing freak who's ready to play. And he ain't got no legal restraints on him now, courtesy of those five jackasses. And Republican Party, you know, the way they shut down McCain or whoever Bush was running against by telling all the other GOP funders to stop sending money to McCain. But they won't have that opportunity now because you don't need that. You don't have to spread out the money anymore. You know, you can have one or two.
And what did I see earlier today about the Koch brothers saying that this was the fight of their lives or something? Now, which one of these two clowns is tied in with the Koch brothers, or are they just hedging their bets and funding both of them?
I have no idea. I mean, I just, you know, the thing is, though, is Romney is so soft anyway without this person funding Newt. Because if you look at some of the numbers, he's been really soft in the deep south from the get-go before Newt won anything. So if the freaks, the Confederate, can find somebody to rally around Newt, you know, I just think he's in trouble. But it'll be interesting because I follow a number of, you know, righties, and they are just, the establishment righties are just freaking out.
Coming unglued.
Oh, and I mean, you know, the ones like David Frum and that woman from Washington Post, they're all sort of, Romney supporters, and it's just, they just don't, you know, it's just really sort of, well, capital gains, you know, running all these articles, why capital gains are okay, but the problem with him is that, no, screw his tax returns now. He had a carryover of $4.9 million in capital loss. So everyone's speculating that, oh, that bitch didn't pay. He paid zero in 2009, which is why they going to move heaven and earth to keep from releasing that shit. Because he thinks it looks bad now. Roll out that shit where you earned $14-15 million and didn't pay. You paid zero taxes. That'll be a problem too. So that's why people are thinking that he ain't rolling out the other ones, because he had done so much shenanigans where he ain't paid no taxes. And that climate isn't too keen right now. People ain't having it, you know.
Well, We may have witnessed in the last year the most effective raising of the consciousness in this country in a long, long time. Just via Occupy. The teabaggers, they're done, I think, unless they just pump more millions into it, Sandra. But no, people aren't having any more of it. There's a little evidence to suggest that. Did you see the story about Bank of America offering to renegotiate mortgages and the conditions that they put on it?
Well, everything is, yeah, because they wake it up to the idea that, oh, shit, we can't be so out there. So they want everybody to shut up, don't they?
Right. They've told people that they will modify their loans.
Just quietly.
If they will sign a remain silent agreement, and this is the beautiful part, and go and expunge any previous criticisms of the bank from their public record.
Well, we're back in the fantasy world again where these corporations have lost control of the message via the internet, so they're trying to bring the full force of the world to shut it down. You know, this shit they got going with the AT is yet another intellectual property treaty.
Crackdown, right.
Yeah. And so, you know, it's all sort of, I mean, it's going to be hard to, you know, keep it all on the DL as it unravels if you have this sort of network going on, this networking. So, I don't know. I'm sort of, at this point, I'm a bit fearful what's going to be happening in the spring of this month.
Well, I was getting emails earlier today, Sandra. From our European listeners saying, you know, if you don't hear from me for a while, you'll know it's because I've been, you know, quashed because of this business. And I don't remember the acronym or initials for it either, but it's apparently creating real distress, in Europe.
Yeah, well, I remember reading about that treaty a long time ago that it was being discussed, and it was a big problem because all the discussions were in private. And,
oh, you mean in those quiet rooms that, yeah, Willard likes?
And next thing you know, Obama has signed on to the treaty, and it's just been moving around the world as these things do. And, you know, it's like SOPA worldwide, you know.
Right. And well, this is what Michael wrote. He said, "You thought you got it bad over there with SOPA and PIPA? Today, ACTA got signed into law behind closed doors by sellout plutocrats. If you do not hear anything more from me, it might be due to ACTA cutting off my internet due to suspicion of file sharing. I am livid right now and can't believe we all of a sudden got fascism online.
Yeah,
it was formed
in
secret, became known barely a few months back, and before we got to breathe into our to voice our opposition, bang, it's law."
Yeah, no, I mean, and the thing is that, but it's, you know, it isn't just bang, which is unfortunate, because like I said, I remember hearing about this ages ago, because it's one of those sort of things that's discussed in, you know, like WTO type of trade. It's real.
Right.
But not, you know, banal, and it's just kind of like, yeah, whatever. But, yeah, it's just really on and cracking. And like I said, we have to go back and conclude that this is just all getting the infrastructure together and ready, you know?
Yeah. It makes sort of a, and, you know, neither you nor I wants to say that we have reached over and grabbed our little Reynolds Wrap hat and stuck it on or anything. But the fact is, the world became aware of the predatory practices of this capitalism run amok as a result of the internet. Because God knows, nobody really understood the housing crisis, the bubble, credit default swaps, derivatives, or any of that shit. Nobody understood that because of the reporting of the Johnny-on-the-spot 1% for-profit media. Now, did they?
No. I mean, the only thing you may have understood was, like, I would say to my roommate, I'm like, what a f***. He's a house in Stockton, $600,000. This is back in 2005. That was just about the extent of it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, like, things don't seem right, but, you know, you don't really know what's what, but you're right. If you take a little time, you can get yourself sort of educated on it, but it's only because the information is available. And, you know, there, of course, there's some...
And when you've got a company like Apple who is the model for a corporation steeped in secrecy. That's the model going forward. You know, I'm sure you read the New York Times article on them again today. You know, what I was talking about with Albert, with Li Xiaodong. This is the corporate model that they want.
Oh, yeah, no, and that's why I'm always sort of just in awe of all these people, you know, getting all excited about, oh, what the Internet can do for protesting. It's like, well, excuse me, but didn't they go ahead and shut down Mega Upload anyway?
Yeah, well, they did. And then to hear David talking about it, David from Maine talking about it last night, the domino effect that created out there, for good or ill, with everybody shutting down and closing links and disappearing stuff, that was one case. And look at the ripples out from that single, you know, that single stone thrown into the pond.
Yeah, like, what was he saying? A lot of dead links.
Yeah, and nobody got nothing. But
this is the thing. It's sort of, people need to you need to understand that there's gatekeeping for the gatekeeping. You know, this infrastructure isn't just laid out there for all of us to partake. And the thing is, you know, I'm not going to go as far as saying you need to download the information you want, but you might want to download the information you want, you know, because nothing's forever.
Well, you know, that's one of the things that, and this, you know, this speaks to your reality, Sandra, because of what you're studying and what's, you know, becoming, you know, what your world is. Maybe it's because I'm a crank or a Luddite or whatever. But, you know, you and I have talked before about how fragile the entire information system is to begin with. And now you've got all this cloud-based stuff.
Well, you know, I think we've had to discuss. I mean, you know, I'm not feeling...
The cloud makes me nervous.
No, well, the cloud is ridiculous. Now, don't get me wrong. I've already said, I'm so happy I can go to the iTunes cloud. And, you know, if I can log in with my email and password, I can get access to the music now. I don't have to back up it on disc and stuff.
Right.
But that's goddamn music. I mean, at the end of the day, life will go on. But you expect me to rely on a third-party corporation and be okay with every bit of information that I need and want? No. It's just absurd. And they're getting us real trained for the idea that the clouds, you know, with Jobs when he was alive talking about it in sort of religious tones, and it's just bizarre. Okay, I'm not.
Well, and like I said, that's one of the nice things, if you can call it nice, that these New York Times articles are doing is they are demystifying and taking the halo off of Steve Jobs.
Well, it's just the notion of the cloud thing is really kind of disturbing in light of, you know, how susceptible these systems are to breakdown, hacking, disruption by government, and the like. So why in the world are they getting us conditioned to accept just having a handheld and no longer any control over your own information?
Well, but that's precisely it, isn't it, Sandra? If you've given up control, I mean, you can draw parallels. If you've given up control of your own body to, you know, the religious loonies in the state, then they have that control over you. That may seem overly simplistic. And if you've given up your data to third-party transnational corporations, then they own that too. And, you know, where's the guarantee of security in this? Who can say that, you know, because it's more than, you know, Aunt Mabel's recipe for fudge.
Well, and not only that, but it's also the mentality that they're trying to condition people for. Much like younger generations do they even know what the Fourth Amendment is and do they care? As they're moving us towards, oh, it's okay, you can trust these third-party entities to control information, which, you know, no way should people accept that digital data is preservable, first of all. I'm sorry.
I've seen too many Christmas trees decorated with free AOL discs.
Well, if you have those 3.5, you know what I mean? It's on and on. It's like, give me a break. You know, there's no way that.
Well, one of the things, and again, it's all predicated upon electricity. It's predicated upon, it's predicated upon predications upon predications. But one of the things that I've been looking at, because I know Ben Birch built one for White Rose, I've been looking at building a raid array. And most of this audience is wildly technically savvy and knows more about it than I do. But, for instance, you know, God, knock wood. You know, we've got, I've got all of the horn recordings here on an external hard drive. And I back that up periodically. So what I'm doing is I'm backing up a hard drive to another external hard drive to another internal hard drive, blah, 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 blah. And the only thing that makes any sense is a RAID array where, you know, it's like a one zero array or whatever, where if one hard drive goes bad, you pull it and you put another one in, and your data's okay. You can lose drives and your data's still okay.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the only way I can feel comfortable about it here and still be in charge of our own data. I mean, this, you know, I'm not going to get up on the cross or anything, but we've been at this for a while. And the only tangible record of what the horn has done is on the servers that Ben Birch leases, and on whatever archives he has in his possession, and whatever I have here. You know, I mean,
it's not like unwise to once in a while mention, oh, you know, great if people out there in the horn has their own copies of the show too.
Yeah.
You know, I have quite a few of your shows. It's not like anything that, you know, I'm tending to like a garden, but if you have other horn listeners who are keeping it too, I mean, that's also a means of, you know, it's out there.
It's our own little cloud.
And it's, but I just think that the sort of over-reliance on, you know, the promise of the internet is wildly optimistic, because the state has to have, you know, monopoly of force, and, you know, they got to control the internet if they can want to continue the way it's going. So,
For a minute that the way that Occupy blossomed has not served as a wake up call to the ones with the real ugly fascist leanings in this country, Sandra. Because they look at that, you know, the kind of people who rain McDonald's applications down from the Chicago Board of Trade. You know, those pigs. They look at the internet, and all of a sudden the internet is a real problem for them, because people are acting independently of their corporate consumer guidance.
Well, yeah, which is of course why, you know, you're going to get more support from artists for something like that mega upload, like David was talking about, if they're going to be paying, you know, a lot more for their work, and the artists, they have ultimately more control. And that's the problem with Hollywood. They're flipping out because they're not the only people who can make and break fame. You know, and that's a lot of power.
Well, fame in its own right is a marketable commodity,
that's
right?
The thing. And so if they don't, you know, they're just losing market share on that, and they are turning to all the big bad government to help the asses. Winners and losers picked again, you know?
Right. Profits are socialized, losses are socialized, and profits are capitalized.
Well, and it's just sort of, once again, it just exposes the lie of, oh, we have to have small government. No, we don't. Only the little people have to have small government.
The only small government those types want are the small government that can't put out a fire. The small government... I mean, Jesus, this thing coming out of New Hampshire today was absolutely sickening, Sandra. They're going backwards. The Republican legislature in New Hampshire is trying to revamp the domestic violence laws now to say that an officer can't make an arrest in a domestic violence situation unless he actually witnesses the domestic violence taking place.
What state is this?
New Hampshire.
And what?
Yeah, not kidding.
Pretty soon they'll repeal that other law that happened in 1980 that actually said that a husband could conceivably rape their wife.
Right.
People don't realize that was 1980. Up until that point,
It was always a question. Can you imagine?
Sadly, yes. and it doesn't stop there in New Hampshire. And remember, these right-wing ideas, they propagate like successful viruses. I mean, they move at lightning pace. They've got another bill up there called HB 1608, and that limits a judge's ability to issue an arrest warrant for somebody who's violated a domestic violence restraining order.
Okay, so what is this all? I mean, I'm just like, I don't even know what to.
This is misogyny on the march, because see, there's a certain segment of conservatives who have always hated the domestic violence statutes because they say, for instance, well, like in this state, for instance, if you're charged in a domestic violence petition, the cop comes around and you have to turn in your guns.
Well, that's
discrimination against the men folk is what it is.
Well, and in California, you know, the state can take it upon itself to prosecute too, because you had so many times that, you know, women were not pressing charges. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, right. It's hard enough to get a victim of domestic abuse to participate in her own protection.
Right. So I didn't know. God, you know. I mean, I guess there's no area of the private sphere where they don't want to go, because I guess all this is sort of an attack on their patriarchy. Right? Isn't that what it's about?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It's a big old ugly pushback in the name of male privilege.
Yeah. No, that's hideous. This other thing that was really doing my head in, too, which is, like, what is wrong with the New York Times right now? Because this article with that Chris Christie, you know, throwing the right to marry out for a public vote and him being praised for that, I had to do a double take. I'm like, you know what? As a Negro, I'm glad they didn't do that shit, you know, in the 60s.
Well, you and Cory Booker, too. You know, he's the mayor of Newark.
Good Lord, are you kidding
me? And he has pushed back in a huge way. He said, you know, I wouldn't be where I am if civil rights were put to a popular vote.
No, but the New York Times is trying to make it as if he's, you know, being politically savvy. I'm like, oh, my God.
Well, that goes to show you a little bit, doesn't it, Sandra? The pernicious effect of all this libertarian gobbledygook that has polluted our political process for over a year now, it's treated as a legitimate idea of government when it's just a bunch of old cranks who, you know, I've said for a million years that libertarianism is nothing but Republicans who want to smoke dope. And this is that. Ideas, every idea of libertarian freedom is predicated upon some degree of privilege, whether it be white privilege, white male privilege, it doesn't matter. And this is the New York Times pretending that that has some sort of cachet of legitimacy.
But it's just, to me, it's just government 101, American government 101. It's just, you know, I mean, this stuff has happened. We're not inventing the wheel here, you know, and it's just demoralizing to actually, you know, have some a-hole try to say that, you know, gay rights are something that should be subjected to the tyranny of the majority.
And that, you know, that's the beauty. I mean, I've been kind of wishy-washy about Cory Booker, frankly.
I know he has his connections with the Manhattan Institute. But anyway.
But he said, this is not about a choice. It's about a fundamental right, and the 14th Amendment is very clear. It says equal protections under the law. And right now in America, we have a second-class citizenship set up where certain Americans can have privileges that certain Americans do not enjoy, and that is just wrong. He's been tweeting. He's been going on the radio. He's written a go-get-stuffed letter to Chris Christie. And At least, you gotta wonder if the New York Times will respond to him the same way that they did to Christie.
Yeah, well, no, I don't know. I just is like, I mean, I guess it's just, I don't know. Maybe I'm not paying attention, but to me, every time I open the New York Times, there's some new praise of some other fanatical right wing pig on their front pages, and I'm just
fight.
Well, they are 1% media, and they are nervous.
Yeah, okay, I guess.
I mean, are you getting a solicitation to sign up for an electronic subscription about once a day now, Sandra? Because I am.
No. That'll be a no. I mean, because it's just, you know, I mean, they it's too much. At any rate, I have to say that that was just too funny yesterday, if I may bring that silliness up.
Oh, that was some of the best fun I've had here, and I don't know how. I mean, we've had some silly moments. It reminded me of some of the absolute lunacy that Peter Godbold and John Fox and I used to get into in the horn section. It was just crazy. And you and Jim and Isaac and Ron, you know, and you were just egging each other on, and it's like, you know, children. And I'm I was the grown up, because
no,
wasn't.
You know, you sent me saying you was hitting that button like Morse code. That I was dying on that, because but it was crazy what you were playing, and the fact that there was some sort of it was a Negro, and I'm like, damn it, that was wrong. It was too much.
And I mean, but you know, he's probably great pals with that. Oh, what's her name? Bernice King.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, I mean, yeah, of course. I mean, it's just like, oh, my God. But anyway, so, yeah, that was a much-needed levity, for real.
Well, I'm glad you enjoyed it. You would not believe. I mean, I'm still getting emails. It was maybe 30, 45 minutes ago. I got one from Jay and Barb. Said, hey, Bob, thanks for the yucks last night and everything.
I wish
I could do that on purpose, but it just evolves in the moment, Sandra.
No, I wouldn't re-listen to that hour. I mean, I'm telling you, that shit was funny as hell. It was just because it was like one funny ass line after another, it just sort of escalated. I'm telling you, it's need to preserve that. That's crazy.
Well, that one's saved, and I'm. The way people listen, I'll probably still be getting email about it next week.
Yeah, no, because it definitely was like, I mean, cause I know you didn't expect it to go that way, but you can't have the right wing talking about asses and not get commentary from the family. It just won't happen.
Jesus, you know, I wish there was some way to get that recording to Peter LaBarbera and you know, Brother Woody. Because it...
Well, I mean, I know it's like, you know... It's
they so, need to know, they need to know how much what disdain we hold them in.
Well, I know it's really juvenile, but I mean, I tell you, the one that did it for me, sent me right over the edge, was the facial. I'm like, oh, my God. Okay, I'll stop now, but yeah.
Yeah, because we're going to be right back down the rabbit hole again if you're not careful.
Oh, my God. But anyway, you know, listen, kudos to everybody who participated in that hour.
Oh, yeah, and like I said, it kept coming back because, you know, David in Tennessee started a lot of the trouble, too, wondering what the ringtone was. And so, you know, I opened my email early this morning, and there's another note from David saying, maybe it was just set on vibrate.
Oh, no. Yeah, right. No, I mean, because it's just, you gotta take it apart because it's so absurd.
And they're so clueless of the fact
that's
that,
what I mean.
that it goes on in their world a lot more than in the world that they're talking about. I had an email earlier today from a listener who says, I've made a modest living selling sex toys and marital aids for a lot of years now, and he said, you can take it to the bank when I tell you that straight guys are the ones buying the butt plugs.
Right. Yeah. You know, no, because the dude was just going on way too much.
Yeah, he was...
He's like, what are you doing, dude? We got it.
Well, and you know, the minute he said, quote, butt plug, unquote.
No, that was it. That was it for me. I couldn't stop.
All bets were off, and we knew where it was going.
You know, he's like fighting butt plug. I mean, is there like a library where you find that stuff?
Right, is there a style manual? Is this out of Strunk and White or what? Opposite butt plug? No, what?
It was really... Yeah, that was, it's just priceless, the whole thing. But you will never run out of material from the fundies, black, white, or whatever.
Oh, no.
And if we all understood Spanish, oh my God, you really could go off the deep end.
Oh yeah.
Okay?
Oh yeah.
That's way up north there too.
Yeah, because we tend to think of the Latino community as this monolithic Roman Catholic. No, the Baptists and the Pentecostals and you know, the floor rolling freaks have got their hooks deep into that community.
Exactly. So anyway, it's just across the board. And
well, I do have to tell you one other thing. I had to be down the mountain earlier today and was walking along and walked past a bookstore, and guess what I saw?
What?
You're not going to be okay. The new book that is sweeping the nation. Tim Tebow, A Quarterback's Story.
Oh, something that he wrote?
Well, I mean...
wrote or something?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh,
but
no.
The idea that it's subtitled A Quarterback's Story, I think that jury's still out, Sandra.
Did you see that little song I sent you?
Yes, I did.
If that was for Tim Geithner, but it could also be for Timmy Tebow. I just thought it was great.
Oh, that I did. I sat and I listened to it. This is perfect.
It was
and
really
I
funny.
And because I have this unhealthy obsession, I did think about it in Timmy Tebow terms.
Right. No, me too. I saw it for Geithner. I thought, oh no, this will work for the other Tim that we all adore. So yeah.
Then gets himself in trouble and has a lot of fun along the way.
Exactly. Very funny. Okay, listen. I'll let you go. Have a good evening.
All right. You too, Sandra. Bye now.
Bye.
If you did not catch last night's show, you kind of owe it to yourself to have a go at it, because it was mighty special. Yeah, and there's the email from Ray. Can't help yourself, can you? There you go again. Ron Reagan. Hey, welcome to the program.
Brother Bob.
Cossack, what's happening, man?
I seem to have missed a good one.
You're going to have to go and download it. It was the first hour is nothing but pure, unmitigated lunacy.
What were you doing?
Now, wait a minute. You sound like Ward Cleaver. Stop that. What were you doing, Bob? Nothing. I was just innocently trying to do prayer meeting Wednesday and found a clip of a guy who, a fundamentalist, going into incredible detail trying to describe what those homos do in bed.
What are they so...
I don't know. It's.
I mean.
But really,
kind of ridiculous. You know, if it offends you so much, why do you spend so much time getting into it?
Well, yeah, the dude was practically getting breathless.
You know, it's kind of like. The very last thing I really wanted to do was to see that poor cat.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, I did not spend a whole...
I give our little Siamese an extra scratch behind the ears every time I see her now.
You should.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody ever did that to my cat, I swear to God I would hunt them down.
Yeah, and of course, blip on the barely a blip on the radar, because like I said, no, it didn't make it to ABC, NBC, CBS, or anybody else. No.
Oh no.
And you know, I'll have to rely on our cadre of Arkansas listeners to tell me if they ever catch the rotten bastard that did it.
Yeah.
Who will be white? Who will be male? Who will be a registered Republican? And who will probably be part of somebody's campaign.
Correct.
At which point a press release will be issued saying, we disavow all of his actions and deplore them in the strongest possible terms. You know, can we forget about this and move on and get back to talking about that communist?
Well, the Republican that's running for that seat is a local hate radio broadcaster, and put this guy's address out on the air.
Now, wait. I thought he was running against... I thought the guy whose campaign manager's cat was killed, I thought he was running against an incumbent named Womack or something.
Womack. That is correct. He was correct.
And Womack is a hate radio guy?
Yes, he is.
Oh, yuck. Well, you know, you've obviously done a little digging. Give us the backstory, Cossack.
He put the both the candidate, Aiden, and his campaign manager's address out on the air.
And by the way, for those who might be trying to catch up with this conversation, what we're talking about here is the case out of Arkansas that we discussed, what was it, Monday night?
Monday or Tuesday.
Yeah, in which the campaign manager for a Democratic candidate for Congress, the campaign manager's cat had its head bashed in till its eyeball was hanging out. It was killed, tortured and killed. And then in big, bold, black letters across its dead little body was written the word liberal.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what, yeah. And so the way that Aiden's campaign manager's name got out into the public forum was because this vicious prick, can you come up with a better term? This vicious prick put out the addresses and phone numbers for the public, for the right-wing public, and every hate-filled... Now, look, I mean, this is different. Wow, I didn't know this, Cossack. This is different than Glenn Beck saying the Tides Foundation is a bunch of commies who sacrifice babies to George Soros. This is different from that. This is a guy saying, here's his address, I hate his guts, right?
Yes.
So if the guy would happen to be caught and you know, maybe they would seize his computer and find out that he got that address, then you can draw a really bright line between the homicidal killer and the vicious prick who set the ball in motion, right?
Correct. And as somebody, well, I was reading some commentary about this, and someone made a very good point. This time it was a cat.
Well, yes.
What if they caught one of the kids?
Well, and that's what that is. That's a warning message. That's Luca Brasi sleeps with the fishes, right?
That's the horse's head in the bed. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. This will tell you.
Well, aren't there federal laws about trying to intimidate candidates and so forth?
I believe there are.
Does anybody harbor any irrational hopes that law enforcement's actually trying to catch this person in Arkansas?
Theoretically, they're looking into it.
First, they're trying to figure out if a crime was committed, I'm sure.
Correct.
I remember that story several years ago from South Carolina, where a man was dragged to death and his body was found, and the first thing the cops said was, well, we're not sure if a crime was committed yet. What?
Looks like suicide to me.
Yeah, he chained himself to the truck and put it in drive and ran along beside of it until he could drop the brick on the accelerator, right?
There you go. I mean, this is the heart of darkness. It really is. There are people down here, Bob, that are not beyond that at all.
No.
I've seen it. I've heard it.
Well, I mean, you live in North Florida. That's lower Alabama.
Yeah. Especially this part. This is about as red as you can get. And I have spoken to people in public. I am not ashamed of the fact that I'm a human being. You know, it's like I said, when I got into that argument with the Klansman, which I didn't know that he was a Klansman until later. But I got sick and tired of arguing with him at one point, and I said, you're right, I'm a racist. I belong to the human race. Which one do you belong to?
Oh, good. Oh, nice. For the win.
And he didn't like that very much.
Well, I can imagine. But they don't like it when they're called on their... Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I was basically told to watch my back. I don't take that too kindly. Oh, boy.
Yeah. Just be careful what you say. You want to be careful about what you say.
There's some dangerous people down here. They're welcome to come visit anytime they like. And if they come in the middle of the night, they may well not be visiting anybody anymore.
Well, and that's why when Spike called last night, he was talking about the fact that there are more and more members of Liberal Gun Owners of America.
You got it.
There's a reason.
Yeah. My brother and I are quite well armed, and we're both expert shots.
Well, good, because you don't want to waste ammunition.
Oh, no.
Wow, that sounds like right-wing radio for a minute there, didn't it?
I mean, well... Like the idiot that tried to kill my brother in the store. Broke pool cue over his head.
In the store?
Yeah. It's a liquor store.
Oh. Jeebus.
And the transplant Cuban from Miami. With dubious connections, shall we say.
Well, for my purposes, he's an asshole with a pool cue.
Yeah. And turned out a little bit annoyed when my brother followed him out into the parking lot and put a round through all three legs.
Ow. Three? Ooh, ouch.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
One round? That's some good shooting.
He was a federal agent.
Yeah, okay.
Before he retired. He's not bad.
Well, Cossack, it's good to hear from you, and you will. You'll have to go back and listen to last night, because I have a feeling you could use the giggle.
Probably.
All right, and do keep us posted on the Arkansas story, would you please?
Will do.
All right, you take care, my friend.
All right, you too, Bob.
All right, bye now. From North Florida, otherwise known as Lower Alabamistan, that is the Cossack. Hey, welcome to the program.
Good evening.
Hey, Jim, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
I'm well. You are certainly deserving of your fair share of credit for last night's shenanigans.
Well, I'm not too sure I want to take it, but nonetheless, I'll just have to defer to your judgment. But there's one thing, if you really want to have a charge...
Yes.
But to last night, Google up Sue Johansson.
Sue Johansson?
Mm-hmm. She had a program on television on Sunday night, and she did sex talk. And in addition to that, she would have people call in, and they would discuss their sexual problems, and she would present a number of devices to take care of these problems. And some of the devices were so complex, it made someone look like they were a character out of the Borg from Star Trek.
Were there stirrups and aquarium pumps involved?
Well, no. That's simple. I mean, there's no problem with that. I mean, you didn't have to. All you have to do is just put your feet in the stirrups and turn on the button and fire up a lighter. But nonetheless, with these things that she would have, honestly and truly... I've never seen such devices, nor have I ever thought of such devices. But, I mean, I think you'd have to have an extra power pole for the power company to drive them all.
Well, wouldn't you just love to have last night's reverends watching that?
He probably has.
Maybe where he heard about the cell phone.
She would, take these calls. I mean, between Sue Johansson's program... And Taxi Cab Confessions, and that's another good one on HBO, where all these people get into this guy's taxi cab and they're talking.
Oh, yeah, I think I saw that some years back when we still had HBO.
Oh, my Lord in heaven. I mean, you know, it's just incredible to see these people willingly allow themselves to be videotaped, and, you know, they got off on it. And, you know, I sort of did, too, because, well, I've sort of been a man of the world. And, you know, Bob, I made the circuit in New York back in the late 70s, early 80s, before AIDS, and went to some of these clubs, and I saw things that would blow the good reverend's mind. I mean, for real. I mean, you know, if you want to have a brief taste of it, just view that film with Al Pacino called Cruising.
Cruising, yeah.
Uh-huh. But nonetheless, see, you have some... And it was a straight show. It wasn't anything, you know, it was, you know, people were calling in, talking about their needs and how they could be satisfied. But nonetheless...
Well, look, you know, consenting adults, what's the problem?
No problem. And then she would rate the items that she had presented to alleviate these tensions with what she called the briquette method. And she would use the number of, like, briquettes that she used in the grill, and they went from, like, 1 to 5 or something like that, and this was a two briquette, three briquette. And it was just, I said, Lord, have mercy.
Thought you'd seen it all, and then you get schooled.
Well, yeah, I mean, really, I mean, I guess there are a great number of people out there who are not quite satisfied with their sex lives and how to assuage their libidos or whatever. But
well, you know, where last night's weirdos were concerned, Jim, I think what we're essentially talking about is a subset of people with a really, really profoundly unresolved voyeur problem. I mean, this goes way beyond Chauncey Gardner in being there saying, I like to watch.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, Freudian or whatever particular doctrine to which you subscribe, I don't know. But that, like I said, there are a lot of people out there with a lot of hang-ups and a lot of fascination with hang-ups, and I really, you know, sort of interpret the whole thing as some type of psychopathic voyeurism.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. I think the addition of the psychopathy really finishes the job.
Yeah. I mean, I think some of these people would love to be out in some type of black cat outfit or whatever, prancing around trying to look into people's bedrooms.
Well, beyond that, no, they want to be in that bedroom. Because how many stories do there have to be, because they are legion, Jim, of these fine, upstanding, literalist, fundamentalist, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ types who get caught. I mean, you know, we've got an infamous, in its own way, parody song that I wrote the lyrics to and John performed, based on John Prine's brilliant Angel from Montgomery. We've got about the minister of the megachurch in Montgomery, Alabama, who accidentally killed himself.
Well, that's basically what Sue Johansson was talking about in her program. Sex Talk with Sue Johansson. And, you know, it's just amazing to know how many people out there who are, regardless of their religious predilection or whatever, who are having difficulties in that area. And
well, you ought to see the Christian marital AIDS websites.
Oh my God, what's on there?
The usual things that Brother Woody was putting quotes around last night, and things that buzz and hum and look like mice or kangaroos or but they're Christian marital aid websites. With a lot of copy on the website about how, you know, God wants us to be happy and fully, you know, God wants us to be fully happy as human beings, and and argue, and you know, it's all from a capitalistic profiteering standpoint, because what, you know, that's an untapped, well, probably ought not say untapped, here we go again, Jim, you're doing it to me, that's an unaccessed, unleveraged market, that folks would like to get into.
Yeah, I guess so.
I mean, there are Christian marital aid websites that are filled with all the ancient iconography of the church. There are fundamentalist Christian marital aid websites. There are Orthodox Jewish marital aid websites. There are Muslim marital aid websites. I kid you not.
And these deal with, like, toys and things like that?
Yeah, the same thing Ms. Johansson was probably saying. Yeah, this is a two briquette, this is a three briquette. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
You know, my friend, I'll tell you this, and I will never recall the night when I told you that in days of past, I was a slut, and I was a good slut.
Well, you know, if you're going to do something, be good at it.
Exactly. And I never had to resort to all this stuff.
Well, no. I mean, no, this is...
I understand it because I have seen some of this stuff actually go on. Like I say, back in New York and stuff like that. But never cared to participate myself because, well, I guess maybe I was adequate enough to create a situation in which there was satisfaction on both sides.
Well, hear, hear. But again, it's not, as our purveyor of marital aids who wrote in said, you know, it's not couples that are coming in and buying these things. It's straight men.
You know,
because they want what has been forbidden to them.
I just wonder how many of these straight men would be compatible with any type of thing except an inflatable doll. I just wonder. It's just incredible.
Well, you just got a big thank you, Jim, from Sandra for the quote, "My God, what's on there?"
What? Oh, where? Sue Johansson?
My God, what's on there? Thank you, Jim.
Well, I mean, if you can pull it up, it came out of Canada, and they took it off. It used to be on Sunday night at 10 o'clock, and she would sit there and honestly and truly attempt to deal with people and their sexual problems or lack of sexual satisfaction. And then she would have the toys and things like that and measure the effectiveness of the toys, I guess, by the number of calls she got about each one with the 1 through 5 roquette type thing. But, I mean, you know, she tried. She was very professional.
Well, you know, I remember the little tiny lady. Come on, help me. Dr.
Ruth.
Dr. Ruth, yeah, trying to help people. And frankly, these folks like Brother Woody and his pal Peter LaBarbera could use that help because they are not healthy about this stuff. And that's how you wind up getting arrested in your Mercedes trying to pick up, a boy toy. It just is. Hey, Jim, I got to roll because we're right out of it, but thank you very much for last night and this evening as well.
Well, thank you.
All right, you take care.
Take a look at Sue Johansson.
Oh, I will, after the show. I'm gonna. Later. Bye now. And that is our buddy Jim. It's time to get out of here, but it would be unfair for me to leave without mentioning a first-time email from Guillermo. Wanted to say I'm a first-time caller, long-time fan. Adding to Brother Albert's list, including Newt Harkonnen, we've got a graphic here, a separated-at-birth graphic. Attached is a comparison picture of Newt Gingrich and his distant relative from a galaxy far, far away, Newt Gunray. So we've now expanded into Star Wars imagery. Guillermo noting, if we think the moon base is bad now, wait till he deploys the droid army on Naboo. Thanks, Guillermo. Thanks very much. And it's time to get out of here. So thanks to all of you who make all of this happen with your financial support, with your ideas, with your great good humor, with your emails, your calls, your participation in the chat room. Thanks to our chat room moderators, Lottie and Sparky. Thanks to our news ninjas, Gene and Susan. Thanks to our blogger, Texas Betsy, our op-ed columnist, Reverbo. My head writer, David in Tennessee, John Fox, who is so many things that it's almost impossible to list, and, of course, Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks always go out to the hardest-working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, Judy, it's all for you.